It's showtime.
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 21st day of March, 2023. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round. That's for listening live, and if you're listening to the podcast, whatever time it is that, you're listening to the podcast. And the fact of the matter is, if you are listening live right now and you pop into the chat room, the aforementioned wacky, zany, etc., you will be immediately greeted by the early arrivers, the folks in there before the tardy bell. I'm kidding, there's no tardy bell. Irish Dave and Squeaky and Theo are waiting for you, and we're all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable chat room moderator, veteran Sparky, who, although he is a third stage guild navigator as well, has declined to fold space on a rainy and gray day there in Northern California, and remaining Sparky instead of becoming Man Cave. And he is capably assisted by Horn Chief Mathematician and Chief Agronomist and Bud Trimmer Emeritus, Roger, in Oregon. Hi, I'm Robin. It's actually a little bit spring-like outside. Here in the fabulous Horn Studios, the magnificent Kincaid Mansion, it's apparently already summer because, well, this southeast-facing, very windowed room, which gets so brutally cold in the winter, has reached 80 degrees, and it's a little schwitzy. We'll get through that, though. Yeah. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different, so that means we say thank you to our 21st day of the month subscribers. Thank you so kindly to our pal Harold, CEO of Sostris, President and CEO of Sostris, the secret open carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. Thanks as well to Karen. Thank you so very much indeed. Thanks to everybody who jumped in last night. That means the fundraising goal for this program is $1,020. $1,020. That means this program, Monday's program, Friday's program, and $220 of Thursday's program. So basically, we're unfunded for 4 days. And with any luck at all, we'll we'll knock some of that down because got to pay some things before I can leave and go on the road to New Jersey and D.C. Just saying. Anyway, it is Titanic Tuesday, Titanic Tuesday being named so ever so many years ago now, when the guy, since passed, Nil Nisi Bonum, would lecture the people who tuned in America's fifth smallest radio market and tell them, well, he would unburden himself of his vast storehouse of non-knowledge in an absolutely breathtaking monotone. And one of them called one day, this is just a reminder, and said,
"How come you reckon it is there is seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? I done seed them in the coal mine, and we ain't nowhere near the beach."
To which he replied,
"Well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates."
It's getting harder and harder to get my voice down there. And thus was born Titanic Tuesday. Still no word whatsoever on the whereabouts of the Titanic Foley Food Mill. One of these days, there should be a research project to just go through all the Tuesday programs and come up with a list of all the crap that we have alleged to have been part of the wreckage of the Titanic. Oh, tickle me sometimes, the Titanic Foley Food Mill. Got one, you know, and there really is. If you've never used one, I'm not going to say you haven't lived, but they're awfully handy. I use a Foley Food Mill that when I make my scratch chili, rehydrate a bunch of chili peppers and run them through the Foley Food Mill and get a beautiful, beautiful dark brick red chili sauce out of it, and use that instead of chili powder, and whew! Yeah, it's amazing. Lee in New York says, "No tardy bell, as long as you know where your cowbell is. Also, where your towel is. Obligatory Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy reference." Yes, thank you for that. And in point of fact, I do know where my cowbell is. You know, I don't know why I keep it down there. I think it's safe to put there. Probably because it's a bit ear-splitting to do it right close to the microphone. Anyway, spring is here. Thank you for the kind wishes for a happy second day of spring, Claire, across the pond. Thank you so much. And yeah, I'm just in a good mood. I just am. And you know, yesterday we had that deliriously funny piece of Trump audio where he began to extemporize on why someone might hate their children. And I thought we'd kind of keep with the trend. And start with another something sort of delightful. Namely the fact that Al Franken, and this is welcome, Al Franken is guest hosting The Daily Show. And I guess he must have been fairly well liked in the Senate because they managed to book, of all people, Lady G, you know, Miss Lindsay. And so Al and Lady G took to talking. And somehow or another, the conversation turned round to building consensus. They started talking about the war in Ukraine. Oh God, here we go again. Everybody loves the Stark. Here, have champagne. Gotta get some champagne of the Stark. Hate it when this happens. But the conversation turned to the war in Ukraine. And how to make sure that we don't, you know, hang Ukraine out to dry. Because that's, you know, that is one of the concerns, is that if Nitwit Nero were to get back into the White House in January 20th of 2025, goodness me, that somehow or another, he would just close the spigot and let the Ukrainians flap in the breeze, and that maybe that's the deal that's been offered to Putin. or a promise made. You know, Pootie owns him, of course. There's no getting around that. But they had the conversation got around to talking about the hard cases and dead-enders, the maggots who are opposed to Ukrainians being able to be free and, you know, not dislocated and not genocided. And hilarity ensued. It's almost like in this clip, you can see why John McCain found Miss Lindsay so irresistibly adorable. I never thought I'd see the day when it said that Miss Lindsay was saying something cute. But, well, never say never.
Yeah, 24 election is coming, but I think we got a chance here in the near term, really, with the proper military support, continued economic assistance to the Ukraine, for the Ukrainians to decimate the Russian army in Ukraine. They just need the weapons to do it. And wouldn't that be a great outcome to a very tragic event?
And I should note that that Al Franken said that Lindsay was the fun. He found Lindsay to be the funniest guy in the Senate. You know, if you find taking away basic rights from women to be hilarious, I don't think that's what Al meant. I like Al.
It would be
Putin lose.
And you talk to some of your other Republican friends on the other side, Marjorie Taylor Greene. I know you're very close.
Spend, with tons of time.
Yeah. But there is
the space laser taken down, but we'll see how that works.
Yeah, that was a
Jewish space laser. And what comes next? Oh. Emilio says, stop being in such a good mood, Robin. Don't worry, it'll be gone by the end of the program. There's no doubt about that. But I just want to, I'm sorry I interrupted. I just wanted to get the full value of this.
But there is
the space laser taken down, but we'll see how that works.
Yeah, that was a Jewish space laser, but she said it was...
I always thought it'd be funny to have a laser with a yarmulke on it just flying around. Apparently nobody else did, so...
She has seen it.
She has seen it. she sees lots of things. So that's nice. I mean... and the idea of Lindsay just spending time with Miss Marjorie, well now, that was good. That was very nice. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Matt in San Francisco writes, bitch better have my money. All right, now look, Horn family, it takes some money to make this show happen every day, so here's a challenge. I have a $100 challenge. If met, I'll throw in another $100. If that's met, I'll throw in another $100, up to $300. So keep meeting the challenges, and we can take the total down by $600 today. Anybody up for it? Oh, Matt, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm up for it. I'd kick in if I could. Wow, that's huge. So here at about quarter past the first hour of the program, there's a $100 challenge on the table. Y'all meet that. Matt throws in another $100. And if some gathering of people meet that $100, another $100 comes in, up to $300. And we can go from $1,020 down to $520. And that's magic. Thank you, Matt. I cannot... bitch better have my money. Matt's been... Matt's always brings his A-game, but... Oh, these last few days have been amazing. Thank you. Thank you. And I hope everything's okay at Shea Matt there, and the winds have passed, and the atmospheric river has rolled along, and... Y'all need a break. Without a doubt. With regard to Lindsay, Steve in New York says, Lindsay knows that none of his knuckle walkers will switch from Fox to Comedy Central, so there's no danger his constituents will see him acting even the least bit human, which is probably more true than I'd like to admit, but here we are. Al Franken of Flavio up in Wisconsin says, he was on Morning Joe this morning, right? Yeah, I know what you mean. Miss him. Just do. And that will always feel like a grave injustice, especially when you consider the activities of folks like, well, Nitwit Nero. Well, speaking of Wisconsin, oh dear, the election-denying maggots are up to their shenanigans in Wisconsin. The Republicans in Wisconsin are suing the mayor of Green Bay because they're determined to die mad about how the 2020 election turned out. You know, the one that was not rife with voter fraud. Yeah, that election. I just saw a video of the Wisconsin flag flying with its great seal on it and the letting numbers 1848 under it. God, when was that? Was that 2016, maybe? When some right-wing jackass said maybe Barack Obama had gone to speak or something. I don't remember.
That's what the liberals will do to your state. They put their union local number on the flag.
No, it really happened. 1848, of course, is the year that Wisconsin entered the Union. But anyway, the maggots in Wisconsin are mad about security measures that have been upgraded in Green Bay. Because now there's not just cameras, but the cameras have microphones attached to them so that you can actually hear what's being said. It's sort of like the, you know, the poll cam there that caught some of the, well, that caught the murder of Tyree Nichols. As far as I know, that was just video. And might have been nice if there had been audio to go with it. So Maggot Dude is suing the city of Green Bay over microphones. Because, well, the carrying on in Green Bay continues, and the carrying on in Wisconsin over the 2020 election continues. And these people are, of course, these maggots, complete assholes about it. So now there's going to be cameras with microphones, and lawyer Janet Angus, no jokes, maybe not many. Janet Angus is the lawyer suing, and it just so happens that Janet Angus was charged with disorderly conduct over an incident on Election Day of 2020. And she's joined the lawsuit against the mayor of Green Bay, who's a Democrat. City clerk of Green Bay, Celestine Jeffries, said, I think deliberately that escalation is meant to dissuade people from the polls. That is what this is all about. Everyone should be upset about that. When those people who are dissuading, policing, scrutinizing, they think they're only scrutinizing people they don't want at the polls, when in fact you scrutinize all people from the polls. And I guess it's pretty damn noxious there at City Hall in Green Bay. Mayor Eric Genrich said, ironic would be the word for that. What prompted this installation were the bad behaviors of a small number of individuals that were threatening and harassing city staff and members of the media. In the suit papers, which should probably be summarily tossed out, and perhaps accompanied by some Rule 11 sanctions, they say that the fact that there's a microphone on a camera in a public building violates Wisconsin statutes because at least one party has to consent to the recording. Okay, the city of Green Bay consents to the recording. Brown County Judge Mark Hammer actually issued a temporary injunction against the use of audio recording at City Hall, but said, I'm concerned that there was some type of underhandedness or strategy in waiting until after the city primary and before the city election to dirty up the mayor, and that's unfortunate. That's extremely disappointing, quite frankly, to use a fundamental right that our people have as a political tool. Imagine that. The suit was initially filed by Andre Jacques, a Wisconsin maggot, and some other maggots there in Wisconsin, Green Bay. And curiously, everyone on the lawsuit has financial or political connections with one Chad Weininger. And Chad Weininger is a Brown County, Wisconsin official who just happens to be running for mayor against Eric Genrich. They got brass for days. Eric Genrich said, just about everybody involved in this legal action is either politically or financially connected to my opponent. So it's pretty obvious what the motivation is here. That's something Judge Hammer also pointed out. The people bringing this suit were aware of this system going back to fall of 2022 and waited to do anything about it until we were very close to the spring general election. So it's pretty clear that this is a politically motivated action brought about by far-right political interests who have been attacking the city of Green Bay for now for over 2 years. It's mind-blowing to me that this is going on. The Wisconsin State Senate is a legislative body. Obviously, they're not there to bring lawsuits against local governments and waste taxpayer dollars. Well, when they're Republicans, they are. I wonder if this ever goes away, or if this is just going to become a permanent condition of our nation. Did we cross some sort of Rubicon in 2016 from which we can never return? I mentioned poor Persephone yesterday, first day of spring. That's when she returns to Earth from her 6 month sojourn in the underworld, according to Greek mythology, and all because of a pomegranate seed. Did we eat some sort of, well, maybe not a pomegranate seed, but accidentally ingest some sort of orange pit in 2016? I mean, I've voted in a bunch of presidential elections now. Like I said, my first presidential election was that I was legal to vote in was 1984. Lost that one. Lost again in 1988. Won in 92. Won in 96. So, 2-2. Lost one, but wound up losing in 2000, so that's 2-3. Lost again in 2004, another sketchy election. That's 2-4. Won in 8 and 12, so that's 4-4. Won but lost in 16. That's 4-5. Won in 20. That's 5-5. I'd never actually bothered to calculate that before, but yeah, I'm five and five. 50% in my presidential voting. Of course, you know I consider presidential elections to be national one-question IQ tests. And we have, in fact, flunked that IQ test. Well, we didn't fail the IQ test in 16, and we didn't fail the IQ test in 2002, or 2000, rather. Our test results were simply invalidated by a racist anachronism from our country's early past, or early history. Early past just seems sort of, yeah. Hey, thank you to Dave and the Blind. Thank you, Dave. Dave just got us started, so there's $75 to go on the first $100 of the Bitch Better Have My Money Challenge, courtesy of Matt in San Francisco. It would be great. It would be wonderful if we could get that knocked down, because, again, like I said, oh, program note. Like and subscribe, y'all, and leave a comment, please. And if you're listening on TuneIn, press that little heart button where we'll have progress updates. We're trying to get up to 1,000 folks on TuneIn, which would be awesome. But, yeah, the usual program note, because it seems like nobody, no matter how many times I mention it, when I'm not here on Friday, somebody will be writing in going, where are you? Trying to keep that from happening, because I'm going to be on the road Friday afternoon, and it's kind of hard to answer emails, and I hate for people to think that I'm not reading them. I will not be here Friday. Neither will I be here Monday the 27th, Tuesday the 28th, Wednesday the 29th, maybe the 30th, not likely. It's kind of hard to climb in behind the microphone after, you know, 6 hours on the road. But I will be back for Friday on the front porch on the 31st, the last day of March. I'm going to New Jersey, and I've got my route all set up. I'm going to manage to avoid all the D.C., Baltimore, Balmer, Philly stuff, just going straight up to Harrisburg and then hang a right into New Jersey. Really looking forward to the screening of Devil Put the Coal in the Ground, and I'm going to be so happy when I can tell you where you can go to watch this film as well. And I am trying to find out if there's going to be a viewing option, an online viewing option. There usually is. If there's going to be an online viewing option related to the Princeton Environmental Film Festival, and if there is, I'll let you know. I mean, you won't be able to see what's going on there, but you can watch the film for a modest donation to the institution that hosts the film festival, in this case, the Princeton Public Library. So that's where I'm going to be. And what that means is we've got today, tomorrow, and Thursday, and then one more day, and we're gonna finish March as a result in a hole of sorts because of my absence. That's on me. But if we can get the fundraising done for these few remaining days, these four remaining days that we have for broadcasting, that will be fantastic. Super. And take a considerable strain off of my tiny little mind. National IQ test, Lee in New York says, we barely have a number over 100, but we think we belong to Mensa. We are a super genius. Yes, Wile E. Coyote, super genius. I like the sound of that. Precisely, Lee. Hi, Kay. First, to explain why I put Kay as my name. I get it. Yeah, that was chosen by my work friend when I came out to her, so I'm going with that for now, at least to people who know as I try to navigate my way through shit. Anyway, it's so spring-like. I went on a nice walk with my mom today, and I think it's kind of nice that the warmer weather coincides with you-know-who finally having been hit with some justice and the maggots suffering some white-hot meltdowns, the likes of which we haven't seen since the black man was in the White House. Yeah. I hate it that you have to put it that way, Kay. And shoot me a note. You will forever be Kay if that's what you want. And I'm proud and happy for you. Kay adds, proud and happy for you, sister. Kay adds, Al Franken, he should still be in the Senate. Stop it with the fucking rehab tours, damn it. Come on, Dems, you're better than this. And because Kay gets a little rot sometimes, some things don't change. They're still trying to overturn it. Jesus Christ, let it go. They didn't spend this long on birtherism or Benghazi or her emails. And then finally, Republican legislators. They're not there to bring lawsuits and waste taxpayer dollars. Kay notes, pretty sure that's their job, actual job description. That and take away basic rights and freedoms from people they don't like. You're incredibly not wrong, Kay. I love Kay's emails. Kay brings passion to her communications. Flavio says, Green Bay shenanigans. I put the Wisconsin Examiner article up with the comment, you would think State Senator Andre Jacques would have changed for the better, having almost died from the COVID. No, he came back a fortified 200-proof asshole. In the lead-up to his illness in 2020 to 2021, he was staunchly anti-masker, anti-lockdown, I think anti-vax, too. In other words, a COVIDiot. Hey, as the modern ironic saying goes for anything nasty you see online, he seems nice. And thank you to Ralphs jumping in. We are now $65 away from the first $100 of the challenge, Matt's Bitch Better Have My Money challenge. Thank you, Ralphs. You are a dear. I hope the blinds are still hanging. Sweet kitty. And like Greg Palast pointed out, Randy Radar says, your credit card and utilities companies know where you live, so why does the town clerk not know? Very good question. Presidential elections, Matt in San Francisco says, as far as I'm concerned, every Republican president since Nixon has done shady shit to get elected. Nixon extending the war in Vietnam, Reagan arranging the hostages to be held longer, George Herbert Walker was head of the CIA, so his shadiness is baked in. Then we get George W. with the stopping of the counting of those pesky votes, and then there's Trump with the Russian assistance and the other 6 million corrupt shit he did. Only Gerald Ford gets a pass. Gerald Ford! If he pardoned Nixon, so he's shady in his own admirable way. Matt adding, oh, and it's raining all day today. Level 3 storm, the new normal. Well, I guess that front extends all the way up to where Sparky is, because he said it's gray and rainy, and at least there's a chance, you know, you'll get 15 minutes of respite from all the drought conditions. I'm trying to be an actual ray of sunshine. Hard to do in the rain, I know. So let's move on from Wisconsin. Down to Washington. Where Joe Biden issued last couple of days. Issued the first veto of his presidency. It took precisely 2 months of having maggots in charge of the House of Representatives before he vetoed something. the thing he vetoed never should have even gotten to his desk. But, you know, we live in a world that has a Joe Manchin in it. So the House passed with one Democratic vote. Jared Golden of Maine. The House passed a bill that would block a rule at the Labor Department that lets retirement fund managers take ESG factors into their into their investment decisions. ESG, in case you're wondering, is the new CRT. I'm sure it's another brainchild of that malignant little walking tumor, Christopher Rufo. ESG, of course, stands for environmental, social, and governance issues. And so what that means is that retirement fund managers can say, no, we're not going to invest in any companies that, well, we're not going to invest in any oil companies. And they can say, no, we're not going to invest in any companies that have bigoted or discriminatory policies toward marginalized communities. And then, of course, governance. Well, that's where retirement fund managers can say, you know, we're not going to invest in anything, and just pulling a state out of the hat here, Florida. And this, of course, inflamed the maggots. Marginal trailer queen was probably at the controls of the Jewish space laser trying to zap the Department of Labor. And so this rule that this law that would have blocked that rule at the Labor Department passed the House, and then because of people like Joe Manchin, paren, coal broker, paren, it managed to pass the Senate. Because, among other things, we have senators who are not able to serve right now. And having passed both houses of Congress, it went to Joe Biden's desk. And Joe Biden, yeah, please let's give credit where credit is due. Joe Biden said, fuck no. Which was the right thing to do. So now, the House has scheduled potentially its first ever veto override vote. And they don't have the votes. It takes two-thirds of the House and two-thirds of the Senate to override a presidential veto. There is no way in heaven or hell that the maggot House has two-thirds willing to agree with the lunatic caucus. But they're going to do it anyway. Okay. You do you, Kevers. Steve Scalise, remember, he's the majority whip in the House now. The guy's so breathtakingly stupid that he nearly got blown away with semi-automatic weapons fire and still can't seem to figure out how it is that maybe we don't need weapons of war on the streets of the United States. But, you know, that's him. And no, the vote's going to go ahead as planned, even though we're going to lose. And sadly, President Biden may need to make sure that his veto and pen
stays well inked. Now, the House, but see, that could happen again. Yeah, I know, Kay. I know. Kay says, thank fuck Biden's the president. Seriously. Why is one so-called Dem voting for that shit, though? Because fuck retirees or what? Give me a break. Also, still recovering from happy tears. Thanks, Robin. What you said means so much. I'm glad. I'm really, really glad, Kay. Welcome home. Well, so-called Dem is right. And he voted for that shit because that the Labor Department has said retirement fund managers don't have to invest in clean coal. Clean, carbon-neutral coal. And this, of course, is deeply offensive to Joe, to the Manchin born. Because the rule does not benefit anyone named Manchin. And we all know that the first law of Manchin's is that no Manchin has ever supported anything that doesn't benefit someone named Manchin. So that's the why of that. Roger, the contact the show widget is in fact working. So thanks for reminding me. Yeah, if you want to reach the program, there's a widget at headon.live. You know, just contact the show. Boom, done. There was some problem with it last night. I don't know what it was. But it was a problem. But moreover, just in terms of things to keep an eye on, the Maggot House has also passed a conniption to overturn the Environmental Protection Agency's clean water rule. Because, well, who needs clean water? And it's going to the Senate where, well, the article that I'm looking at from Axios says, and it's really not a mystery, where the overturning of the clean water rule could get the bipartisan support needed to pass in the Senate. That means Joe Manchin again. Because remember, everything's not about West Virginia, but it kind of is to me. I love this place. But this is one of the most well-watered states in the Union. We get rainfall, you know, West Virginia is the only state that is located entirely in Appalachia. Probably just should have named it Appalachia. But no, we wanted to stick a finger in the eye of the Old Dominion. And so there were also plans to name it Vandalia. That's pretty, isn't it? But we went with West Virginia. And being entirely in the Appalachians, and the Appalachians being the oldest mountains on Earth, and the Appalachians being, in this part of Appalachia, a temperate rainforest, get a lot of rain. That's what makes the beautiful days so especially beautiful. But we get a lot of rain, which means we've got a lot of water. We've got a lot of ephemeral streams and full-time streams that feed out of the hills and hollers into rivers like the Great Kanawha, which feeds into the Ohio, which feeds into the Mississippi, and the next thing you know, you're on Bourbon Street in New Orleans. I wish. And so our response to having some of the best freshwater resources in the United States was specifically to okay coal companies to come in and ruin it. Once again, a reminder, because I've got mountaintop removal very much on my mind, coal companies have buried over 2,000 miles of streams in Appalachia as a result of mountaintop removal, and replace them with culverts that have a sickening dribble of poisoned water, what used to be water, that dribble out into a ditch, which they consider to be an adequate replacement for the streams themselves. It's maddening. And Joe Manchin has been fine with that, is still fine with that, will be always fine with that. Probably his last words when the time comes for him to shuffle off to his long home will be, did we poison any more water or blow up any more mountains today? Good. It's maddening. So I think there is also support. And you understand, if you take electoral politics into consideration here, you understand why he did it. Because he's facing probably the fight of his life if he decides he wants to be reelected. He's facing the fight of his life in 2024, probably against Alex Looney Mooney, who's not even a real West Virginian. And he's an interloper from Maryland. I don't know why y'all couldn't keep him there. And John Teaster of Montana, who is running for reelection and has an uphill fight on his hands because Montana stand. And then there's the House passed resolution recently that ends the national emergency declaration on COVID. Because COVID's gone, y'all, right? No, it's not. People are still getting sick from it. People are still dying from it. Yeah? Son of a gun. And, you know, at the end of every program, I say, go get your booster, because you've got until May. Then the booster isn't free anymore, and God only knows how much another one's going to cost. And we're probably going to need them well into the foreseeable future. Those of us who are uninsured are a little bit worried about things like that. Being uninsured, my flu shot, and thank you to a friend of the program who made it possible for me to get it, my flu shot was $65. Capitalism. The intersection of capitalism and medicine. It's a thing. But it'll probably be John Teaster and Joe Manchin who helped the Senate pass the House bill ending the national emergency declaration. And then it'll be Katie bar the door. And speaking of medical crises, how about Texas? Takes us for everything we're worth. You know, they were so hell-bent in Texas to protect the precious little fetuses that, of course, they've made it impossible for a woman to access reproductive health care. Okay. There's a cowbell for Lee. Going back to Marge trying to work the controls of the Jewish space laser, Lee points out, marginal trailer queen cannot fire the space laser, praise God. The controls are labeled from right to left. Yeah, written in Hebrew. Yes, of course. Oh, that was good. I am in a good mood today. That's just wonderful. And we'll get to Texas in a minute. Kay says, sigh. Fuck everyone, because it'll help you get reelected. Never underestimate the stupidity of the people of this country, especially in numbers and the cravenness of its politicians in power. Kay, you're not wrong. There's a lot of not wrong going on around here. Oh, and back to Andrew Jacques. This looks fun. Andrew Jacques, the maggot senator in Wisconsin, who is leading the charge against microphones in City Hall in a public place because they want to scream at people without there being any evidence of it. We get a little backgrounder on Andrew Jacques and COVID-19 from Flavio. On August 17th, 2021, it was reported that he was tired but in good spirit. Andrew Jacques. On August 20th, 2021, State Representative Shay Sortwell stated in a Facebook post that Senator Andre Jacques is in serious need of your prayers. He's in the hospital with COVID-induced pneumonia. On August 25th, 2021, Jacques was placed on a ventilator but was listed in stable condition. In addition, Jacques' brother, Pierre, well, if it's Andrew, why isn't, no, it's Andre. Okay, it is Andre. Yeah, Andre and Pierre. Weren't they the two little French chefs in the Bugs Bunny cartoon? Antoine? Is he Antoine of New Orleans? Ain't talking about Antoine of Flatbush, I think. In addition, Jacques' brother, Pierre, fired back at Sortwell saying, I'm praying that you shut the hell up and fuck off. Sortwell, like Jacques, has opposed vaccine mandates and wearing face masks. Pierre Jacques went on to say in his post, go get the vaccine, or at least be honest and let your flock know that the choice they're making is between effective, scientifically backed preventative medicine or choking on a vent. On August 30th, 2021, Jacques' wife pleaded that those individuals who are eligible and able to receive the COVID-19 vaccine, please consider placing their trust in the medical professionals who recommend it. He was on a vent for almost a month. And on November 8th, 2021, Andre Jacques returned to the Senate floor, calling himself very blessed that God's not done with me yet. Asked whether his time in the hospital and months-long physical therapy had changed his views on how Wisconsin could handle public health issues, he said he would not comment on COVID-19, but that he did have some insights from his months-long stay in hospitals and rehabilitation centers. Well, like Steve Scalise, though, his insights didn't really have much staying power in regard to the broader issues of his existence. No. Because there he is, leading a crusade against mic'd cameras that were made necessary by the bad behavior of people in his own maggot-infested party. And, by the way, we've got $65 to go to meet the first part of Matt in San Francisco's Bitch Better Have My Money Challenge. I don't know if we could knock that out in the next 6 minutes so that we do, because there's three possibilities here. And if we knock that out by the end of the first hour, then we can do the second 100 on the second hour and the third 100 on the third hour and have a nice little roundness to it all. Fingers crossed. Like I said, takes us. And I'm sorry, I'm looking. I just saw something else come in that. Okay, it is Titanic Tuesday. We'll get to the Texas story, but this is too good. When you are doing things, and Alex Jones says the things that you are doing are things that you ought not do. It might behoove you to for once listen to him. Well, just like finding out that Lindsey Graham can occasionally be likable, this comes as a bit of a shock, too. It happened in a conversation on some program called Louder with some show called Louder with Crowder, and it's not Trey Crowder, who is funny. No, it's Steven Crowder. And he asked Alex Jones whether he, Alex Jones, thought there will be protests if Trump is indicted. And Alex Jones replied, and this is going to take a minute, it's going to hurt my throat. Oh, well, that's I've got an issue with Trump on that. I'm not saying he didn't have the right to say it. I'm not saying he's wrong to say it, but I would have said it better. We got set up on January 6th. Really? I think that was a self-inflicted wound. Kind of like when that Oathkeeper dude shot his own eye out with his Freedom Protector. We know that now. A million people came there. A few hundred attacked the police. The police hit themselves with tear gas. We now have the footage.
No, we don't.
That's how the first breach happened. But then they waved in the other folks and put almost 1,000 of them in jail. It's an American gulag. It's absolutely terrible.
You know, it's funny how Alex Jones never said American gulag when we were dealing with the over-incarceration of people of color in this country, but, well, he's Alex Jones.
And Trump says, take our country back. Protest if I get indicted. Well, you can see then how some people will think take the country back, and then if some provocateurs do something, they can now point right at Trump and say, see, he basically pushed him to do this. So it does look like he's trying to use the public to push right up to the edge. And I think in this powder keg volatile situation we're in, we don't need to be like the Antifa that just tried to burn down the police station in Atlanta 2 weeks ago.
There's a lot to unpack here.
We don't want to be like them out shooting people at four-way stops. So they want violence because they're losing hearts and minds. We don't want to be like Maxine Waters saying to go out and get violent.
Yeah, because nothing strikes fear into the heart of a maggot like Auntie Maxine. Yeah, she's tiny. She might weigh 90 pounds soaking wet, but the thing is, she brooks no bullshit from the likes of Alex Jones. And they hate that.
We want to be the opposite. I get he's pissed. I get it's wrong. Someday there may be a 1776 issue where things are so bad we got to get physical. But I think we should exhaust all the remedies first. And I don't think if there's a violent revolution, it should be randomly attacking police or Capitol buildings. It should be, you know, how George Washington would do it.
Yeah, I agree. Muskets, dumbass. Muskets.
And I'm not war gaming that here. I'm just saying physical war is a very serious issue. And it shouldn't start in some riot. And of course, I've never heard a shot fired in anger. Because I'm Alex Jones in a chicken shit.
And
Steven Crowder said, I don't think he wanted chaos, but like you're saying, he didn't word it maybe prudently. There's one thing that's like, hey, protest, you know, protest, make your voice heard peacefully, which he did, by the way, on January 6th, but this just being in a written post, it'll be easier for the media to paint it.
And Alex Jones replied,
well, he's got a lot of power. He's got a lot of power. And it'll allow them to plant provocateurs like Ray Epps again.
Oh, we had a Ray Epps sighting in the program yesterday. God, they hate that guy.
And they'll have to plant provocateurs like Ray Epps again in there to provocateur some hotheads.
Wouldn't that be to provoke? To provoke some hotheads? Just practicing a little bit of the art of word knowing here.
To provocateur some hotheads
So it's like, listen, if you're filling up your tractor with gasoline and if you farm, do you have the right to smoke a cigarette while you're doing it? Yeah, but it's probably something.
Oh, God, I love libertarianism.
If you're filling up your tractor with gasoline and if you farm, do you have a right to smoke a cigarette while you're doing it? Yeah, but it's probably something you shouldn't do. And so he's basically lighting up a cigarette while he's playing with gasoline is what Trump is doing. That man, multi-goddamn gazillionaire, and somehow manages always to figure out a way, when he is right, to be right for all the wrong reasons. God, Titanic Tuesdays just have this way of being jam-packed. I hardly know. It's hard to sometimes to sort through them, but well. I like Chris Jansing over at MSNBC. She's good. And well, MSNBC runs about a day behind us. Hi, y'all. So today, on Chris Jansing show, they had the story we had here last night about the massive explosion of Candida auris fungal infections in American hospitals. Now today, over on MSNBC, their senior medical correspondent, Dr. John Torres, was on set to explain about Candida auris to Chris Jansing. And the following exchange took place. And I didn't find that when I had the story yesterday, I didn't find it at all surprising on a number of levels, some of which we discussed.
Is it also resistant to the usual cleaning materials that we use?
No, it's not. It hasn't shown resistance to cleaning materials. It has shown resistance to the drugs and the antifungals we use. Now, the one thing about fungi, is they are very, very hard to treat once they take a foothold in the body. And we have very strong medicines that can treat them, but some of these have been resistant to one or other medicines. What they're starting to see is what they call pan resistance.
By the way, of those antifungals, one of them that works on Candida auris is definitely not ivermectin or, you know, hedgehog antifungal or wolverine antifungal or badger antifungal. Well, that's the upper part of the Big Ten. No Boilermaker antifungals either. Never mind.
These are the fungus that are they're resistant to all the antifungals we have, and that's when it causes an issue. And right now, if you look at the mortality rate for people who get this, 30 to 72%. That's a huge mortality rate, 72% of
wow.
Somebody who's possibly infected with this, and those are the ones that are probably
Why?
In the drug-resistant category.
Why is this- So very
So much. Here's the thing we think is happening. Up until now, this type of fungus hasn't really affected us. As a matter of fact, this first started hearing about it in the 90s, early 2000s. We think that what is happening is this fungus normally can't live at the temperature inside our body. It lives at cooler temperatures. And so our temperature of 98.6 was keeping it at a bay. But we think because of climate warming that the fungus is actually adapting to warmer temperatures, which means it's going to be able to colonize in our bodies more.
You have got to be kidding me.
No, and this is what they're thinking right now. And unfortunately, as the climate warms, this could become more and more a bigger issue, not just with this fungus, but with other fungi as well.
Chris Jansing was surprised. I am not surprised.
that wow. Yeah. And it being Titanic Tuesday. Let's check in with a Republican who is in favor of beating children. You know, the beatings will continue until morale improves. I keep threatening to get that tattooed on some part of my body. Preferably with a pirate flag. Well, the Minnesota House of Representatives has approved a bill in their House Preventative Health Policy Division that bans conversion therapy. Conversion therapy is a euphemism for trying to torture the gayness or the transness or the general queerness out of children. And the bill passed the Minnesota House of Representatives in February of 2023. According to Minnesota Public Radio, mental health professionals would be prohibited from providing conversion therapy to vulnerable adults and clients under age 18. This is sound medical science. Necessarily, it means that Republicans are having a shit hemorrhage over it. Now, Republicans hold a majority in the Minnesota State Senate, which is sad. But if it gets out of the Republican Senate, the governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz, has said he will sign it into law. Enter Minnesota State Senator Glenn Grunhagen. Glenn Grunhagen is the aforementioned Republican who is in favor of beating children. And he's also got a long history of hating the LGBTQ community. It was 2016 when he wrote a letter to the editor of several newspapers and said that he wanted laws outlawing transgender inclusive workplaces. And went on to say that thousands of people have left a homosexual lifestyle, and transgenders should get counseling, not sympathy. The article at the publication in Minnesota called The Column said, at the end of his letter, Grunhagen demonstrates a profound misunderstanding about both sexual orientation and gender identity, while at the same time labeling transgender people as confused and needing professional counseling. I wish I could tell you how absolutely exhausting it is. Some of you know, to have one's very existence debated in the public square, to have the right to one's existence debated in the public square. No, I'm not going to cry any privileged white girl tears here. It's just exhausting. Wearisome. And frankly, there's nowhere you can go in the United States that they don't do that. Canoodlia, at least, has hate crime law, hate speech laws. And somehow or another, Canada manages to be a pretty decent place to live, even though it's not okay to hate up there. Because of some misguided notion of free speech. Well, this Grunhagen, denounced the conversion ban by saying, we're not trying to attack people per se as much as to address behaviors and the opportunity to get the type of counseling you want. Well, the people who are subjected to conversion therapy, 99.9999999% of the time, don't want conversion therapy. It is imposed upon them by parents, by clerics, by guardians for people who are of adult age. And God, the nastiness of it. On conversion, we need to insert the government into it and prevent the doctor-patient relationship from whatever that is. If the person is struggling with some of those behaviors and desires, we want to insert... that's the thing. We never talk about straight people struggling with behaviors and desires, do we? No, we don't. You know, if I could sit down across from Goonhagen, I'd say, Bub, I have no struggles whatsoever. Well, okay, there are struggles, but never mind. It's not that kind of struggle. You try dating at 60. We want to insert government and say to the counselor or to the therapist, you cannot try to tell him what he's doing isn't right. You must reinforce his behavior. And isn't that evil? Asked the priest to whom Goonhagen was speaking. Yeah, to a certain degree, almost believe you know that these minors are being groomed for pedophilia. And the priest said, who knows? Which is what you would expect a priest to say, because it's like ixnay on the edophilia pay. Ats they, I may, am jay. In 2014 in Minnesota, because that's how long this Goonhagen has been there in the Minnesota legislature, he opposed an anti-bullying law and said that children should be beaten instead. Just, so entirely vulgar. Hey, thank you, Roger. Roger just jumped in. We got $15 to go on the first $100 of Matt's Bitch Better Have My Money Challenge. So $15 finishes the first 100, and then we're on track. We could do the next 100 in the second hour and the third 100 in the third. And knock the fundraising goal from 1020 down to 520, which is just everything. Everything. Jeremy says, you don't have to tell me that twice, Robin. People have no clue. Just repeat fearful, hateful things based on their belief for that we're all gay. I know, Jeremy. I will never forget when the guy said to me, well, why can't the little trans kids just be gay till they're 18? I can't get that one out of my mind. I honestly can't. And my answer at the time was, because it's not the same thing. And I've actually pondered it for a while. So if you get a trans girl and you say to the trans girl, why can't you just be gay till you're 18? And the trans girl starts dating girls, I guess the parent would be, oh, look, they're dating girls. Yeah, well, you told me to be gay. Well, that's not gay. Yeah, that's gay. Girl dating girls is gay. Whew! Subject line, it's exhausting. Stephen New York says, from my perspective, I could not agree more. For the few years after I came out, I felt the same way. The notion having to day in and day out defend one's mere existence was indeed exhausting. I could not understand why, at worst, they didn't just leave me alone and hate me at a distance. I wondered why we couldn't, at the very least, come to a mutual agreement that would not try to gayify you if you didn't try to de-gayify me. Nope. Happily, I was able to get to a point where I just avoided them.
Mostly I can. I'm not subjected to a tenth of the shit that a lot of my brothers and sisters and nibblings are. But I still get some of it. And it all hurts, and it's all exhausting. Speaking of hurtful, hey, Christopher, thank you. Christopher just jumped in via Venmo. We got $10 to go on Matt's Bitch Better Have My Money challenge. Thank you, Christopher. But speaking of hurtful, there is a podcast out. And I listened to an episode of it today. It comes from the minds of Barry Weiss, who has long been a footsie player with fascists. It comes from Barry Weiss and Megan Phelps Roper. Does the name Phelps ring a bell? Westboro Baptist Church? The scam they came up with to sue people for giving them shit for being bigoted shit stirrers? Because it was. Fred Phelps, now, by the way, in hell, he's right next to Rush Limbaugh on the at the Pineapple Cafeteria. Well, these are the people that wandered around with signs that said, God hates that British colloquialism for a cigarette, and protested at American soldiers' funerals. And Megan Phelps Roper has since gotten married, and I guess she went to law school at some point in time. And she has given up her her hateful ways. There's only one problem. I've heard it said that, somebody I deeply respected, Anthony Bourdain. Yeah, I had him on the show a couple of times. It was nice. He was gracious. And a very thoughtful man. But he was also a recovering heroin addict. And after his suicide, people who knew him very, very well said that what he had basically done was always to replace one addiction with another. He kicked heroin, kicked coke, kicked cigarettes for a while, but then replaced them with other behaviors that to which he applied his addiction-prone personality, ultimately killing himself over the infidelities of a woman named Asia Argento, who herself turned out to be a real ball of cats. And I mention all of this because Megan Phelps Roper is kind of the same. She claims to have left her hateful ways behind her with regard to the L's, the G's, the B's, and generally the Q's, but not the T part of Q. So she and Barry Weiss have teamed up for this multi-segmented podcast called The Witch Trials of J.K. Rowling. And I listened to an episode today because it featured a person that I deeply admire and respect and for their cognitive skills, and not the least their comedic abilities. And that is Natalie Wynn, whose channel on YouTube is ContraPoints. I've mentioned her in the past. She's brilliant. And she at one point in time made one of her features about J.K. Rowling. Rowling. Don't care. Joanne.
And so Megan Phelps-Roper got in touch with Natalie Wynn to do a half-hour interview with her about her her critique of the transphobia. Actually, it's more like transmesia. It's outright hate that J.K. Rowling has for the trans community. And Natalie Wynn was absolutely magnificent. Well thought out. That woman has an amazing mind. But in the end, when she found out it was going to come out, and she had done the interview, she began putting out tweets saying, "I am so sorry I did this. I hope I didn't hurt anybody. If I did, I apologize in advance profusely and profoundly." Because what Megan Phelps-Roper has done is she took her old hate, softened it, and has found other groups to hate more effectively. And she's using her hate skills to try to make excuses for J.K. Rowling. I never read the Harry Potter books. I saw some of the movies. It didn't hold the fascination for me that it holds for a younger generation. There are people who absolutely adore it. I'm of the generation that got our fantasy kicks from Lord of the Rings. And it always felt like J.K. Rowling was just sort of repackaging stuff. Which I think, in many ways, Harry Potter is just a rebranded Star Wars, frankly. Orphaned kid, secret father. You know, Ron Weasley is Han Solo, etc. And J.K. Rowling is a billionaire who is using her billions to try to oppress a minority that is so marginalized, you just about have to have a microscope to find us. But that's where we are. But it's interesting to hear how Megan Phelps-Roper tries to soft pedal some absolutely vitriolic hate. Not surprising coming from her and the likes of Barry Weiss, who, you know, went over and played footsie with the Proud Boys. Yeah. So that's just a bit of a digression. But it's... There are so many queer kids who did grow up on Harry Potter, and straight kids too. And they have no idea what they're participating in when they... the queer kids do, because when she came out and did what she did, it became abundantly obvious who and what she was. But the straight folks are still beating a hot path to whatever it is, Harry Potter world down in Florida. And playing the new Harry Potter game that they put a trans character in and promptly named Serona. Really? So And just to go back to Alex Jones for a minute, Kay says, you know, even when he accidentally makes a semi-coherent point, he can't help but throw in a million QAnon conspiracies. Shut up. Oh, shut up. Go and change your armor. And this is actually the story that I was getting to. Cynthia writes in from the Bay Area. Hey, Cynthia. Just a second here. There we go. Anyway, Cynthia said, I'm sure you probably saw this, but just in case. And the title of the article from Slate, there's a quiet new crisis in Texas after the abortion ban. It could get much worse. The bottom line being that in their desperate quest to protect the precious little fetuses, the Republicans in Texas have hamstrung the healthcare system in Texas such as it is. Remember, Texas has more uninsured citizens than any other state in the union. And the quiet crisis, the quiet new crisis, is doctors and nurses and other healthcare professionals who are so terrified and concerned and frankly uncertain of what the abortion bans really mean that patients are being left to linger at death's door until, for instance, a dying fetus that everybody knows is going to die dies inside the mama and then tries to save her life. You know, in hospitals that are crawling with this candida auris, you know, while we're at it. Cynthia says, if I were a doctor or nurse in Texas or any other red state where abortion is banned, I would leave for a blue state and to hell with them. Indeed, I would feel terrible for the women who are victims of the anti-abortion lunacy, but staying when you can't help them anyway will only take a toll on you. Maybe when there's no health care available, the idiots will wake up. Oh, wait, says Cynthia. Silly me. They'll just take ivermectin, as that cures anything, everything anyway. I stand corrected, but I would still leave. Well, don't be so quick to judge, Cynthia. They wouldn't necessarily take ivermectin. They might drink pints of pee-pee that they've stored up, or wear onions in their socks. I wish that wasn't real. I want to live in a world where it isn't real. But here we are. Going back to my note about the story about why can't they just be gay? Equivalent question from Lee in New York. Why can't short people just be tall? Lee gets it. Oh, okay. Well, there must be something sideways in Minnesota based on the story I read. Minnesota Senate, the Democratic Farm Labor Party, has a 34-33 majority over Republicans. I don't know. Maybe there are some defectors in there. Or maybe the article was wrong. It's been known to happen. Thank you, Flavio. I appreciate that. Because it made me wonder just exactly how blue Minnesota is. Because back when I was worrying about where the hell do I go if I have to flee, and I feel like I bought maybe a year's reprieve, I don't know. But Minnesota was one of the places I was looking at. You know, because being frozen is not quite as bad as being put in prison for going to the grocery store. So there's that. And we have reached the halfway point of the program. $10 remain to finish the first $100 of Matt's challenge. Could we please just knock that $10 out and get the rest and then start on the next one? Because it's terrifying to me to leave here and, well, it's terrifying. Anyway, let's go over and, my goodness gracious, it's Todd. Hey, Todd.
Hey, lady. What's up?
I was in a good mood, and I'm in an even better one now. Been a little worried about you.
Yeah, me too. But all's well. Oh, all's well, I guess.
I guess part that gets you.
At least I'm not Alvin Bragg.
Did you see today Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, and that thing on his head have called for the arrest of Alvin Bragg?
I did not see that.
Okay. He did.
Well, okay. Well, before that, maybe you can explain to me, since you have the legal type of mind, how in the world can, even with the powers that the House of Representatives has, how can they ask an official to talk about an ongoing and open investigation? Does that end up going to the Supreme Court?
Well, so what's going to happen in New York is a state matter.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. Alvin Bragg's all, he's the Manhattan prosecutor, so it's going to be prosecuted in New York State Court, and it will have to go all the way through the New York State system before it can enter any kind of federal, before it can be appealed to the Supreme Court of the United States. Getting it from a state Supreme Court to the U.S. Supreme Court, it's not beer and Skittles.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's not on the fast track. So where does that leave? This is some bullshit. They shouldn't even be. I mean, I'm not saying this because I saw it on TV today. You know, I mean, that's just common sense. Like, why you people are supposed to be lawyers? Why are you asking folks to talk about things that they can't talk about?
Because they can't resist. It's catnip. Because that's the way TV...
Okay.
Not really, that's just how TV news runs.
Well, this is a bunch of bullshit.
Yes.
I mean, look, it appears to me now, all this shit... Now, you haven't heard from me in a while because I heard about the thing. I heard just a whole lot of stuff. Oh, God. There is not past tense. Is. But, you know, and I'm trying not to pay attention to the news as much as I used to because it's probably not healthy for me since I don't get paid for it anymore. But, you know, we're in some tricky dick shit here. Because if you don't do something, in other words, if the rule of law does not apply, then what? You see? But if it does apply...
I do.
See, I can remember like yesterday. I know exactly where my presence was when we were talking about, well, how many of our representatives were involved in this? Because we saw that shit from the beginning. We're like, oh, no, this is inside. No, no, inside job. See?
It feels like it.
Well, you see the number of arrests now. Maybe they've been slowly, but I'm still disappointed in Merrick Garland. But the behind the scenes, it seems like the folks are doing their job. And like,
I've kind of exhausted my disappointment in Merrick Garland.
Wait, I don't think you were clear.
my disappointment has reached maximum disappointment and has looped all the way around to ennui.
I mean, I'm starting to think, seriously, I mean, like, I'm not trying to be funny here, but I'm starting to think that maybe, like, he wasn't ready. Like, maybe he...
Well, look, like Joe Biden, you know, like I've said so many times...
He needs some help.
Like I've said so many times about Joe Biden, I have never been happier to be so wrong about a president. I thought he was not... I thought he was not the man for the job. I thought they were better. And I was absolutely wrong. He's the man for the job. He's got the right attitude. He's got good ideas. They're not all perfect, and he does fuck up. I mean, you know, turning ConocoPhillips loose on the North Slope of Alaska sucked a lot.
You're taking me way off base, and if I didn't write it down.
But the point is.
But I agree. I want to talk about Joe Biden. I want you to keep going because.
Well, I was just going to say the point I was trying to make is that to the same extent that I was so happily wrong about Joe Biden, I want to be that happily wrong about Merrick Garland. But so far, Merrick Garland isn't giving me the things I need to be for me to feel like I was happily wrong. Make sense?
Okay. Yes. And let me say it out loud so I don't forget. Merrick Garland, Joe Biden. Okay, now I can stay on track. Okay, so, right, and I suspect that you, like me, we have this feeling about this current attorney general because it seems like people who are under his ranks are, like, more aggressive and making moves than he is. Which brings me back to where I started with this with him. I think his anxiety has taken over. He is really not comfortable in front of people. He's really not.
Yeah, I think for people like Merrick Garland, and this is pure speculation, but he was known for being a serious, no nonsense, reserved judge of a demeanor that one classically expects from judges. Am I making sense again?
Yes, we all heard. That's what we
and,
all heard.
I think maybe he doesn't have the temperament to be. He was an arbiter of justice on the bench. I don't think he has the temperament to be a vigorous pursuer of right and justice as an AG.
No. And see, we have given him enough time now. This is the thing. This is why I brought it up. I mean, and you already feel this way. You see it. He has had enough time. He's had enough time to dig in. I mean, what are you waiting on? Like, literally, what are you waiting on? I mean, he's scared of his shadow. Now, the other side of it is that we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. He could be being extorted. We don't know. Russia could have, we don't know. Everyone is doing something that's not right. None of us is perfect. And we know that Russia has thoroughly infiltrated the people who matter in this country. We know that. We know that, which is why I bring this conversation back to where it started with, you know, it's almost like out of a TV show where we have all these representatives, mostly representatives, who were, you know, more than happy to help folk, lead folk on, and still say, oh, it was just a tourist. A tourist, you know, whatever, Trump. You know, that, no. There's no, sometimes there's not two sides. And for the Attorney General not to be very forceful with this, it seems like his underlings are the ones, I mean, unless there's some serious, it might be that, is it that deep? It could be this deep. It could be this deep where this motherfucker, who are we talking about, who caused all this trouble is in this deep where that shit, and I wouldn't doubt it. Remember, he had a server going straight to Russia in Trump Tower, going straight to the Russian bank.
Yeah, I remember that.
See? And I felt like you wanted, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but just, I started connecting all these dots. I'm like, this, no.
You didn't cut me off.
Okay, so, right, and thank God I said something three times so I can pull in my tangential behavior. So, yeah, you know what? Joe Biden, people talk shit about him. You got to remember, that motherfucker had blastoma cancer, which means they had to fucking go behind his orbital socket and pull out some cancerous shit. Or it probably went through the side. I think it went through the side of his skull, which is why he's not supposed to be around any bright light. That's one of the reasons. But if you listen to him, that fucker knows what's going on. He knows exactly what's going on. You know, he's been around. He knows exactly what's going on. And look, who wouldn't be tired? I'd be fucking tired. You know, and knowing him, he probably want to take he doesn't want to take the uppers they want to give him.
No, and right, you know, interestingly, there are no stories coming out of the Biden White House like there were coming out of the Trump White House about, you know, about Trump putting on his, putting on his Spider-Man underoos and jammies and jumping into bed at 9 o'clock every night.
No, he's working. Man, look, he was the right man at the right time. And Frank, and like I said before, and I'll say it again. Being the vice president to Obama, being that close to a black man. For old white dude in power, that was very good for him.
I think it softened some of his rougher edges. And by the way, Micah just wrote in, and you want to hear a line, because this is a cowbell. Micah just said, "I had no expectations from Merrick Garland, and I was still disappointed."
Damn.
Yeah, that's kind of like the exhaustion of my disappointment.
He just comes through and everybody, he has to come drag, like you have to take him, drag his ass. Like, could you please come to court? You know, this man has been accused of killing a goat. He's got the goat's head in his hand. There's the blood everywhere. He's confessed. Can you please come in? No.
He is a whiny little. He is a whiny little bitch, isn't he?
He is. He's like fucking Kevin McCarthy, a whiny ass bitch. That motherfucker better get some bass in his motherfucking voice. Speaker. That means you got to. Nancy Pelosi got more bass in the place than he does. Get the fuck out of here.
They can't fucking hold a candle to Nancy Pelosi. That's why they're here. She went out on top. Now, look, we got this mealy mouse fucking puppet ass motherfucker. We ain't talked. Now, he set himself up. He's got to do whatever they tell him to do. Or is it his head to be on a pike? And that's some shit.
From your mouth to God's ears.
What? Say something.
Well, I mean,
what kind of, you can't run a country like this. That fucker's he's hell hostage.
This ain't no way to run a railroad. You know what? I mean, Kevers is a sack of shit. He's what we call here in the hills a blivet, Todd.
He is 10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound onion bag.
Damn. Oh, that's, oh, it's just spilling over as sloppy as shit.
Right, yeah. Oblivion. And I wonder if that's what it, you know, that's what it sounds like, you know, when it's oblivion. Oh, well, there went dinner in the Central Daylight Time Zone. There's no sense setting the table in the Mountain Time Zone. But
that's what it was.
Now, he's oblivious, but yeah, at some point in time, I fully expect to see Kevin McCarthy blinking Morse code into the camera, you know? Help me.
All right.
I'm being held hostage.
Oh, North Korean style and shit.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Pueblo, Mayaguez, whatever it was.
Man. I mean, seriously, it's really like, wow. Where to begin with that? And see, this is the big problem is that this shit ain't over. Because, once again, because these insurrectionists were not machine gunned down like they should have been, they think it's okay. They don't say, they're like, well, they were just standing up for their rights. What about Black Lives Matter? And, you know, they don't get it. So this is not the country that they want. And as long as this is not the country that they want.
And define the country that they want. That's important here, Todd. The country that they want is a country that is rife with discrimination and oppression and religiously mandated structures.
Well, they want a
Judeo-Christian fascism. As the saying goes, there's no hate like Christian love.
And see, remember years ago I kept saying Trump was a MILF, right? A manly old fascist. Remember that?
Yep.
And now we see. Now we see that he's got a whole lot of, you know, fascism is they don't know what it is, but they like. They don't know what it is, but they like it. And the reason I'm saying it this way is that I had to retool a little bit and go through some lectures and some notes about the definition of fascism and how it's applied into politics and such. And you see, it's exactly how I already kind of knew that when I said it to you last time we talked, but you see the plantation South grew out of it was fascist because there was a merging of the economy and people's personal lives in conjunction with the ideology that supported, you know, no rights for certain people, and oppression. See, a big part of fascism is the brown shirt. Is they're like, well, you know what? We didn't win, so we're gonna take it anyway. Matter of words, like my rule. We gonna muscle in. You know that brown shirt beer hall shit. And that's what vigilantes are. That's what slave catchers are out of control. Law enforcement are like that, and you know, so it might behoove of us to be familiar with these terms and how they operate in modern society, and see where they came from. Because Mussolini, you know, he's the one who coined it, but you know. He'd been around. He wasn't no, you know, he was a school teacher. He did a bunch of things. He wasn't no dummy. But So we have, you know, we have to be cognizant of what's going on. Don't get too comfortable.
I don't think anybody can be accused of being comfortable at this point. There's no laurel resting and no laurels.
I mean, and this is what I don't get. Like literally, this is like people are seeing different things. Now, we need a lunch. Once again, I said this for the 128th time, we need a frank lunch because Biden is doing everything Trump said he was going to do. Biden has brought jobs back. Biden is bringing tech back, the CHIPS Act. Biden is holding folks accountable. Now, and at the same time, he's acquiescing to some shit that we don't like, but that's politics. That's the way it works. You gotta get, you know, give and take. But he's got a lot of, man, you look at the spreadsheet. No, not the spreadsheet, the plus and minus, you know, the T-sheet. Crossbar, down, plus, minus, boom, boom, boom. He's got a lot of shit done.
Yeah. But the challenge will be in 2024 to convince the American people of that fact. I mean, why do you think the Congress, and particularly over in the Senate with the connivance of Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, why do you think that they worked so hard to make sure that the expanded child tax credit that lifted children out of hunger and poverty for the first and only time for a while had to be gotten rid of so quickly? Because if it had stayed much longer, people would have actually begun to think that, well, this is a pretty good idea, and it should probably stay in place. Because we see the effects of letting people have something and then taking it away from them, namely. Acknowledging the rights of women to control the workings of their own reproductive systems, and then taking it away.
I love the way you set that up, especially in terms of eating, because, you see, it's like, okay, you can talk all you want, but this is the Western world with deal with empiricism. Here we go. We did A, and B happened. We did A, we extended, you know, let people eat more, a little bit more, and wow, what do you
and
know?
And their lives improved.
It was two standard deviations. It was like, what, 30, 40, 60, what was it again?
Oh, it was crazy. I don't remember the exact number, but
I think it was like at least two standard deviations. In other words, it was between 40% and 60%.
And even people who don't fully comprehend that concept know damned good and well when they're eating better and when their children are happier.
Right. Do you have any orange juice? No. Why not? Cost too much. I had to get gas.
It's funny. I had to run an errand last night after the program, so I went across the river to the Rippy Mart because our Rippy Mart closed.
No.
Yeah. And
you had to go. Wait a minute. You got to go across the river now?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're kidding.
Yeah, and over in the Rippy Mart, I just happened to notice a package of bacon is $10.
Jesus. For crappy bacon.
Yeah, it's not great bacon. It's like Sugardale or some shit. And a loaf of white bread, is north of $5.
Jesus.
And granted, that's in a convenience store. So convenience stores are going to have jacked up prices because they're taking... you know, they're taking advantage of the fact that people can't go somewhere else. But still, $10 a package for bacon? May as well go to a fucking restaurant at that point. Am I wrong?
No, you're talking about a $200 BLT.
Yeah, it goes to $300 if you add in, if you make it a flat and add some avocado.
Oh, see? Oh, man, yeah. Well, there goes the hope. Right, that is insane. $5 for a loaf of crappy bread, probably.
Oh, yeah, it's you know, it's just that... Okay, dim and dark secret. I can't stand plain white loaf bread. I just can't.
No, who can? If you like real food, you do not.
You know, you make a sandwich with it, and it just sticks to the roof of your mouth.
It's like, it falls apart. I mean, and if you toast it, it just falls apart.
It turns to glue. Like,
you know what? It does the big scam. I don't know what, I don't know who started this shit, but I don't know. I see. I'm trying not to be as opinionated and judgmental as I used to be, because my better half has warned me about that. So I'm working on it. I'm trying to be open.
So I got to know, because you know, I'm not trying to get you to disclose anything you don't want to. But I mean, are you okay?
Well, that's a loaded question.
Well, it's certainly a relative term, but you know, it's no easier living in South Carolina, Stan, except perhaps the weather during legislative session, than it is to be here.
Well, one of the reasons you hadn't heard from me, if that's what you're intimating, is that I had some surgery that I'm still going through that's making it difficult for me to talk.
Oh, okay. Okay. I've been there.
So it's just like,
one of those living on mashed potatoes and milkshakes kind of situations for a while.
Oh, man. And in pills and all that. It was just, this too was too much. I had to stop taking the pills. I still have a whole drawer full of those. Yeah. But it had to be done. But there were complications, is what happened.
Oh, no.
Yep. So it's going to be, but the good part is that I don't have to pay anymore, because they're going to make it right. You know, and I told them what my, you know, my goal is and all this. And, yeah, man, it's been a rough ride.
How long has it been? I mean, how long? I mean, because I think our last even message was like March 8th or something.
Yeah, it's been going on.
I'm so sorry. I hope, and I hope I wasn't being intrusive by asking.
No, it's just like, you know, when I go to work and the other things I'm responsible for.
Oh, God, you had to work through that shit? Of course, yeah, you had to work through that shit. It's America.
Right. I took off some days, but... I took off some days, and I felt like I could go back when I could, you know, talk a little bit. I was wearing a mask because, you know.
Because you're intelligent. Yay.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'm fat. Well, anyway. Yeah. But, yeah, so that's why. And, yeah. And, but you know what? It had, you know. Things happen, we age, and things have to be done. And the right, I've been putting things off. You know, the pandemic put a lot of things off. And, you gotta be healthy. You gotta make some choices.
Yeah. You absolutely do.
This is major stuff. So I have been saving, you know, I had a goal. So I've been saving toward this goal, you know. Because this shit ain't cheap.
Oh, hell no. And it ain't covered either.
No. No. Nope. No.
No, I went through that a couple of years ago, you might recall.
I do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know why we can't get it together with our healthcare system, because everybody would be just, between child care and healthcare, that would solve a whole lot.
Yeah, dental, vision, podiatry. How is that not related to human health? Beats it out of me.
There are people with, like, it sounds like one term. Like, and I'm really not, when people say they're not talking about themselves, and they are, and I don't mean that. Like, literally, I'm not talking about myself. But there are folks who have, like, serious toenail problems, like with ingrown toenails, and they're not able to reach down and
deal with it.
You know, you got to groom. You got to deal with it. There's something, that's why folks used to sit in the tub for an hour on Saturday night. One of the reasons, because they only took a bath once a week anyway. But, you know, you got to soak your feet. You got to take care of your feet. You got to take care of your toes. You don't want no toenail fungus. You got to take care of your feet. Because doing that, you don't feel it. You don't feel those ingrown toenails. And then you find out it's too late. And then it's like,
then you got to get them dug out.
You got to get them dug out. Then it's a big fucking deal that could have been avoided. Once a week, check, just like you check the oil in your car, you got to check your toe. And I'm not, look, we're all grown motherfuckers, man. We're listening to the program. They're over 30. And you know, that's about the time you need to start checking your shit. Yeah, when you're 20s, man, you don't, it don't matter because you're still too young.
Bulletproof.
You hit 30. Yeah, exactly. Look, we know what we're talking about. We're still around. You know.
I get you.
What have you been eating lately that's tasty?
I wish I could tell you anything, but really not. I'm trying to, you know, well, winter puts a real dent in my barbecuing
mm-hmm.
habit. So it's time to rehab the acorn. And in fact, I was talking to one of my friends across the river, and she said, "You are going to make barbecue for me this year." I said, "I absolutely will." She's like, "I've tried other people's barbecue around here. Meh." I was like, "I love you. I'm not kidding. I gotta have it. I need your." And so, yeah, there. And like I was, when Secret Sandwich Society reopens, I plan to do. And I've done it, well, back before it burned, I'd done it a couple of times, a shift meal for the staff, because they've always been so kind to me. And that's always a lot of fun. Do a, you know, take a, call my banker, take out a boat loan, buy a brisket. Yeah. Yeah, $100 briskets.
That's pretty cool.
$100 briskets. And the funny thing, a brisket.
They used to be 40.
Yeah, a brisket is one of the more miserable
cuts.
That's
a cheap cut of meat.
Yeah.
That's that tough cut of meat. Right. That's the, right. That used to be like $20-$25 for a big-ass brisket. Like a, you know,
yeah.
The size of what?
And that's the one, and like when I do brisket on the smoker, I don't want none of that trim shit, because I need that fat to soak down through the meat,
right.
And that's what makes it tender. And that's what carries
exactly.
That's what carries the flavor of the rub down through the tissue. I just called meat tissue, and the vegetarians are going, "Oh, Robin, why?"
But you described. Do you know you just got into my head? That's exactly. You described it exactly. If you didn't say it, that's all I was going to blurt through my Tourette's and blurt it out.
Tissue.
What you said about.
It's the same thing with doing a whole pork picnic shoulder. You smoke it with that with that fat cap up, so that it makes
let it melt down.
Yeah, it makes the meat all velvety and yeah. Oh, and I got happy news. We did it before the third hour of the program began. We finished the first $100. Of Matt in San Francisco's "Bitch Better Have My Money" challenge, and that's because of Kevin in Massachusetts, who also got us started on the second $100. So there's $90 to go on that, and it's conceivable it'd be a little miraculous, But it's conceivable that we could do that this evening, and getting us and knocking out $600 of the fundraising hole would be a, what did Joe Biden once say? Big fucking deal.
Big. Man. Oh, you brought him up again.
He's so badass. I'm sorry. He is.
He's a badass. That, if you don't believe that, you first of all, who can do, look, at my age, that's a tough schedule. That's a tough
yes.
schedule.
It would drop my it would drop my skinny ass. It would.
And then when you if you tune in to C-SPAN and see all of little
see that's part of why I missed you. I count on you and Steve, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. You know, y'all have a job. Y'all are the Washington Journal correspondents. I can't do it all by myself in the mornings, you know, because I'm over there monitoring Joe and Mika and the morning zoo crew.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because I remember not that long ago, I would say within the past with 100% confidence interval within the past 4 months. I mentioned someone who I'd heard that morning on Washington Journal on C-SPAN. Because remember, C-SPAN is more than just Washington Journal. And I was like, I know. That's
I just show up for Pedro and the tequila bottle.
It is just so, I just can't tell you. It's just, it's invigorating. It's like, wow. We live around all these demented people. This is just a beautiful place.
And they walk among us.
You look so normal. Oh, I had no idea.
Oh, my God. You're crazier than a sprayed roach. How do you function?
How do you function? Like, I trusted you with my credit card?
I'm a dum-dum.
Right, who's the fool? I said, well, you know, I heard something really disturbing. I'm just making this up. It was like 10 minutes and 40 seconds into the program. I think you'll catch it there. And you and your crack team of interns, man, you had that shit up. You had that shit up with the too sweet. And it was right there. I mean, it was right there. As they say in St. Louis. It was right there. And, man, that was something.
We talk about they walk among us. I got one for you here. It comes from North Kakalaki. Salisbury, North Carolina, to be precise. And by the way, thank you to Robert. Thank you, Robert, so much. Robert in Iowa. We're down to $80 to go on the second 100 of Matt's Bitch Better Have My Money Challenge. I just like saying that. Salisbury, North Carolina, a woman named Angel Pittman bought a little patch of land, and then she bought 3 used school buses and got a pretty good bargain, $14,000. And what she was going to do is she was going to live in one of the buses, and then she was going to drive the other 2 alternately around the community because she's a hairstylist and make a living. Well, no. Over at The Guardian...
That sounds like a great idea.
It sounds like a fantastic idea, you know, because... I mean, it's kind of like here in this little community where I live, you know, our Walgreens closed. And that means all these old people, we talked about this, all the old people here, like I'm not old. I don't feel old. I feel half my age.
Where are they going to get their prescriptions?
Across the river.
Man, this is getting a little bit out of hand now.
Yeah, my little corner of paradise is now a medication desert.
People don't understand when you that. All right, I really need
in a majority elderly community.
Okay, Robin, I would appreciate if you would flesh out, because I feel like this is just being glossed over. When you just freely and easily use this term across the river, I feel like
30-mile round trip.
No, but okay, explain, because I mean that just sounds like, oh, whatever, people go over bridges every day. No, it's not like that. It's like you got to get to the damn bridge.
Okay, it's 8 miles east on US 60. Then you get on US 19. 60's a two-lane road. Then you get on four-lane, which is US 19, and you go another 10 miles to get across the New River Gorge.
Damn.
Get across the New River Gorge. And then you're in Fayetteville. But the thing is, you've got to go up the Wally World Shopping Center and Demolition Derby track. God, that place is dangerous. Is across the highway.
You can't make that up. You can't make that up. I'm sorry.
Across the street is Sheets, which is the Western PA version of Wawa.
Damn right. I could stop in there and get some pizza after that long ride.
Yeah. And there's also Long John Silver's, just no. And KFC, which is mostly no.
Mostly no.
And CVS. So that's the nearest one. You got to go another 5 miles to get to Walgreens. Another 2 miles to get to Kroger, or you can just take your chances in the Walmart parking lot and go to Walmart.
Well, but, you know what? I'm sorry, honey. You know what? They don't want you motherfuckers around.
No, this is majority elderly.
If you got to work
majority, it's majority elderly. It's a medication desert. And actually, I wasn't intending to talk about the medication desert. What was I talking about? See what you do.
I get medication to old people. I know what you're talking about. And it's like a lot of this shit, old people are some serious shit. Sometimes they can't go. They can't miss two doses. That's a pain. This is a big deal, what you're talking about. That's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to. I mean, I laughed and everything because that was my, you know, primal response. But you see, they are. They just want to do what they want to do with that land. They don't want you around in the way.
Oh, I think there's some truth in that.
And it's just a slow progression. They make it harder and harder. Like who wants to be? What's going to happen when the ice storm comes? Then what?
Fucked. I mean, that's all. Screwed. Oh, and more good news. A kind internet friend who wishes to remain nameless has jumped in, and the second 100 has now been knocked down to $15 to go.
Holy cow.
Yeah, that's amazing. $15 to go on that. And the fact of the matter is, it's property tax month. Now, they're not that bad here in West Virginia. But, yeah, I still pay more for my 1 acre and shabby little almost 90-year-old house than a coal company pays for 1,000 acres of unmined property. How about that?
But they create jobs. They make jobs.
A lot of them in the healthcare industry. You know, treating people who die from what they do. Coal keeps lights on in the funeral homes.
Let's see. Rick Scott, convicted felon, healthcare job.
Oh, I know where I was going. No, so we were talking about the lady in North Carolina, Angel Pittman. Okay. So she's got this great idea, and she's going to, and, you know, something like that would be great here. You know, you've got a hair salon bus, mm-hmm. and so folks don't have to go, you know, 30 mile round. Because old ladies like to get their hair done. Oh.
I'm so glad you got that back there. Thank you.
My paternal grandmother, hell would not hold her unless she went to the salon every Saturday. So that her hair would be perfect on Sunday.
Old women take that shit seriously. I'm around. This is what I do.
Well, as an old woman, I understand why.
You ain't old yet. You still got some. You spry in the sly. You got a little bit. Come on.
I'm a cougar.
It's a state of mind.
I can't believe I just said that.
You know.
Okay.
Come on. Yeah. Now, old now. Old is 80. Anybody 80 and younger is not old.
And so Granny would come back from the salon, and her hair would be teased up to Jesus. Her hair would be teased up to Jesus, and you know how the fad is for the young ones now to dye their hair blue.
Oh.
If you had stood my Granny under a black light in a disco, she would have glowed. Like a star being born. I mean, I don't mean a movie star.
I mean a celestial body.
Twin. She would have glowed. I mean, her hair was blue. And there was no dye. It was just bluing. It was just a rinse. But the whole point, because she had to be perfect for church on Sunday. And then she and her baby sister would walk into the Anstead Baptist Church on Sunday morning, and if somebody happened to be sitting in their pew, she and Aunt Madge would turn around and, well, they couldn't throw their hair back because it was kind of plastered in place, but, you know,
right.
And sashay right out of the church. And you know, the preacher, don't sit there. Don't sit there. You don't want what's coming if you sit there.
She would literally leave the church?
Yes. She would not stay for the services if she and her sister did not get their pew.
That's a big deal. Okay. That's a big deal.
I mean, I know you know about this behavior. But
That's what I'm saying. That's a big deal. That's more than making a statement.
But that was back when this town was more of like a going concern. You know, now we have a convenience store and a Dollar General, and that's it. Oh, and a little coffee shop. Coffee shop's actually pretty good. It's pretty bougie. Yeah. A cup of coffee, $6.
What? I don't understand what's going to happen though. This stuff, man. This.
But I think that's a great idea though, because if you had a stylist who could bring her styling bus along and, you know, park it on Main Street where I live. And the old ladies in particular could come and get their hair did. Be great. So
that is more than a great idea. That is a work. Do you understand? I've seen this can work. Are you kidding me?
Well, it would have, but her neighbor was an old white man. And in according to Ms. Pittman, about a week after closing on the real estate deal on 23rd September. She and her mom came to drop off the buses at the piece of ground, and old dude walks up and goes, "Why are you guys here? Y'all looking for shade?" And Angel Pittman said he sat over there and had his gun out the whole time. He was like, "Get the fuck off my lawn," and that we need to get them fucking buses off his lawn. So basically saying my land was his. That wasn't enough, though, because old dude started putting up Nazi flags in his yard and then started putting up pro-Klan signs in his yard. She called the cops. She called the cops. And the cops said, "Don't worry about it. He's put that shit up in the past." And so they didn't do anything about it.
Don't worry about it. He put that shit up.
Yeah, so the Guardian reached out to Sheriff Captain Mark McDaniel, and he said, well, there wasn't no evidence of a hate crime or nothing, because he's had white supremacy signs in his yard even before that black woman moved into the neighborhood. It wasn't like he put it there overnight. So, goodbye, good idea. And goodbye to the $14,000 she spent on the buses, and goodbye to the $10,000 she spent on the patch of ground. And so she's run back home to Charlotte, and she said, I cried for a long time. But somebody to be hateful because of my skin color makes it even worse. It's really heartbreaking. You know, the people who are subjected to this vicious hate almost uniformly display a million times more grace. And I don't know how she did it. Yeah.
You got that right.
Lawyer up, girlfriend. Sue that motherfucker. If the sheriff won't do anything, then again, jury trial, same county, and most of them are probably his drinking buddies.
Well, that's local rule. That's why people like states' rights, and you know, the counties have a lot of rights. The sheriff has a lot of rights.
The sheriff is the most powerful man in any county, especially in the South. That's why he's referred to generally as the High Sheriff.
They can tell you to leave and you got to go. They could actually tell your ass to get out.
Yeah, stand not upon the order of your going, but go at once. I got a note for you from Jude.
Jude
said, is Todd open to sharing his age, as I have not sensed any manner of slowing down or limitation as he shares on any given call to you? Jude says, in September, I'll turn into my 75th year. The past 6 months, I found myself having to pace myself. It's different, this leg of the journey, as the body shifts and the cognitive processes sometimes run into the emotional stream of being. Being open, wide open, Robin, is one of my keys that retunes me to myself. If the grounded and trusted friendships I'm honored to walk with are not present, I sense the path would be so much more difficult, if not unbearable. It's good to hear both your voices as you engage in the free-floating dialogue. I hold you in my meditation morning and evening. Peace, Jude. That is just, I was going to say so sweet, because it comes so easily, but it's not. It's precious. It's dear. It's lovely.
Wow.
In the true sense of the word.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So I would suppose that I'm between 40 and 60.
That narrows it.
So, yeah, that's pretty narrow. I'm trying to get my head around, because I'm just in this culture where I'm around a lot of, especially older women, like church ladies. And a lot of people are out. They live out. This is the South, man. They live out, like, you know, they're out. They're out in the country. They're out. They got their property, a little house out in the middle of nowhere. They need people to come and do their hair. It's very meaningful to these ladies, man, is to have their hair done. That's a big deal. I cannot tell you. That's a huge deal. I see what happens, because I help people get where they got to go sometimes. You know, I know what I see. In this land of growing inequality, where, you know, rich get richer and the poor get poor, and the kids ain't work for shit. And let's be honest, man. A lot of these young people now, they ain't work for shit. I know I sound like them, get off my lawn, guy, but I'm sorry. They're just not. I know they have a lot to deal with, but they're not. You try to help them and they still don't listen. They don't attend. It's like you would think that they would learn from someone else's mistakes. But when they do what the hell they want to, that's a whole other discussion. Because I know how I sound, and that's terrible. I never thought.
No.
they got to do better. But you see, okay, so, and I'm going to bring this back because I'm trying not to be tangent, man. So this individual with the traveling beautification bus, now he'd be the same motherfucker, like, why are you on welfare? You know, why are you on food stamps?
Amen. Yeah, absolutely. Beyond a shadow of a doubt.
You know, which is a lot of people trying to do it. Like, you know, and this is, I think, you know, what you're talking about, well, you're talking about a lot of stuff. But I think, one, and we've talked about this before, maybe if anybody who's in charge is listening, I think this is a good time to dissect what regulation means in light of these train disasters, derailments and such. I mean, there are regulations that are cumbersome, but this blanket term, too much regulation, we've given that collectively, we've given that too much leeway. And I think, in my opinion, this has gotten us to where we are now, where we're not being selective and objective and reasonable about, like, okay, we need clean water. You know, that's if you don't know it by now, this is like Waterworld. Who the fuck, did you think we'd be paying over a dollar a gallon for water?
No.
Potable water?
No, we consume some distilled water here.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it is in those toxic plastic jugs, at least it's distilled water. And yeah,
right.
$1.10 a gallon. I mean, how much longer is it before we're walking around in the Fremen still suits from Dune, Todd?
Look, I'm getting a little, like, I don't know. We got to figure out something has to happen. We got to trap more moisture. I think in the future everybody's going to have their own moisture trapping device because it's possible. And because you can't trust your local water. And then you can't really trust, you can't trust all this water that's just because it's in a bottle doesn't mean it's safe. You got to look at the label, call these people.
Yeah, you do. And and of course, you know, like I said earlier, you got the Republicans who have just passed a bill to roll back the Clean Water Act, or, you know, kill off an EPA Clean Water Rule. Because jobs, right?
Yeah, but so
I get sick of that shit. I really do. I get sick of the fact that it's become a joke. And I mean, I'm mad at, you know. It's because these fuckers are self-parodying. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They're so easy to mock that mockery coming too easy feels like it takes some of the seriousness out of it.
Exactly, because it's such a joke to begin with. How can you make? You can't make a joke out of a joke. They started off as they emanated as a joke. Like DeSantis, what a fucking, he's a fucking joke. You know?
And a vicious one. But I mean, this stuff is all over. I saw a headline earlier today, and I just put it into the stack because I felt like maybe it might sneak into the dialogue somewhere along the way. And because it immediately sent me into one of those Captain Picard forehead in the palm of my hand poses. It's just like, oh, fuck, really? I just want to hear your response to this headline. You ready?
Hmm.
I didn't like the sound of that. Thailand has found its missing radioactive cylinder. That's where the good news ends. That's the headline, Todd.
Thailand has found
its missing radioactive cylinder.
When were we going to know that?
See, I knew it couldn't just be me.
Okay, so how long has this shit been going on, motherfucker?
This thing looks like a rusted shut barbecue grill, okay?
Oh, we found, oh, what was that? Oh, just a little plutonium pendant.
And then it just gets worse.
Oh,
it does. You're not going to be okay. Thai authorities found a radioactive cylinder that was reported missing earlier this month. Jesus, it's like there's a milk carton in Thailand with it. Never mind. The bad news is that the object was no longer intact.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Damn.
So, the steel tube containing cesium-137, yep, definitely radioactive.
No, that's a bad... Oh, no, no.
Went missing from a power plant in the Prachinburi province, where it was used for ash measurements. It was found after authorities detected radioactive readings at Prachinburi's largest steel foundry on Sunday, March 19th, according to the English-language Bangkok The Nation Thailand publication. But it just keeps getting worse.
No. There's more?
Yeah, there's more.
No, stop with the cesium. Stop. Do you know how dangerous cesium is?
Yes. But, you know, we had that report, talked about it yesterday, where the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, said, y'all, we're fucked. And Scott was here with me and said, we're all screwed, Robin. And it's like, you know, y'all, no, really, it's time to quit fucking around, because we're going to pass 1.5 degrees centigrade, and if we get to 2, we're done. Stick a fork in us. And it's hard to have a lot of hope when you see things like this. Wait for it. This is another quote from the story. Officials were hopeful the tube would be found untouched. They were hopeful. Hope springs eternal.
What?
Instead, it looks like a barbecue grill that's been rusted shut. I'm going to make it worse.
No.
Officials were hopeful the tube would be found untouched, much like in the case of a cylinder cesium-137 drum that was misplaced and found 6 days later on an outback highway in Australia in January.
Oh, shit. Oh, so that's when they dropped the other shoe. Okay. It's 2 shoes. 3 shoes.
You know, there used to be a comedy team in Australia with ABC, the Australian Broadcasting Company. It's like they're public broadcasting. And they did political commentary. Their names were Clark and Dawes. And God, I can't remember the first time I heard this, but yeah, they just found a rando cesium-137 drum along the highway in the outback of Australia. And I'm going to play the Clark and Dawes clip because, frankly, and the Clark and Dawes clip has to do with an oil spill in the waters off Australia.
There's a lot of meat on this bone.
Oh, God. So much. It's all meat, no bone.
and it ain't good meat. It's tainted.
And by the way, thank you. Thank you so much to Clarence, your neighbor Clarence.
Clarence?
Yeah, Clarence just finished the second 100.
and got us started. We now have $90 to go in 25 minutes on the third 100 of Matt's Bitch Better Have My Money challenge.
You know, I was thinking about Clarence the other day, man. A Temple cop got shot and killed about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, Jesus.
That was a big mess, yeah.
But thank you, Clarence. And by the way, Jude says, do thank Todd for responding to my inquiry. There have been those moments where his kindness, patience, and acceptance has comforted and, yes, affirmed this simple woman. Distance is not a barrier. Do let us be reminded of this. Amen, Jude. Amen. But I can't remember if it was Clark, if it's Clark or Dawes who passed away.
Mm-hmm.
But an Australian institution went with them. And when I saw the part in the story about the the random drum of cesium-137, which, by the way, is easily carried on the wind, and it can cause horrible rashes and burns if it gets on somebody. Yeah, dangerous shit.
That's what I'm thinking about. Like
you see that and you're like, oh, that's how the Mad Max world begins.
And then you don't know who's going to get cancer or some kind of weird disease after that exposure.
So this is from 15 years ago, Clark and Dawes.
15 years. How many?
15. And it's about an oil tanker that spilled, dumped, disastered, you know, off the Great Barrier Reef. And somehow they made it funny.
Hey, Tim.
Yeah?
Mate, we've been up here for about 2 hours now. It's all right if I have one smoke. Just one.
No smoking in this helicopter, mate.
Go on, mate. Just one.
Yeah, okay. Just one, but make it quick, Wayne.
Oh, mate, that's better.
Well, hurry up. The Kirky's coming up. It's about a half a mile ahead, so finish it off.
You can see it, can you?
Yeah, hurry up. Hurry up.
I'm gonna find better quality. Here.
It is now.
Screw them and their ad.
So they're talking about scooping up the canister.
No, this is about the. Damn it. No, this is about the oil spill.
This is about the oil spill.
Yeah.
Senator Collins, thanks for coming in.
It's a great pleasure, thank you.
This ship that was involved in the incident off Western Australia this week...
Yeah, the one the front fell off?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not very typical. I'd like to make that point.
Well, how is it untypical?
Well, there are a lot of these ships going around the world all the time, and very seldom does anything like this happen. I just don't want people thinking that tankers aren't safe.
Was this tanker safe?
Well, I was thinking more about the other ones.
The ones that are safe?
Yeah, the ones the front doesn't fall off.
Well, if this wasn't safe, why did it have 80,000 tons of oil on it?
Well, I'm not saying it wasn't safe. It's just perhaps not quite as safe as some of the other ones.
Why?
Well, some of them are built so the front doesn't fall off at all.
Well, wasn't this built so the front wouldn't fall off?
Well, obviously not.
How do you know?
Well, because the front fell off and 20,000 tons of crude oil spilled into the sea caught fire. It's a bit of a giveaway. I just like to make the point that that is not normal.
Well, what sort of standards are these oil tankers built to?
Oh, very rigorous maritime engineering standards.
What sort of thing?
Well, the front's not supposed to fall off for a start.
And what other things?
Well, there are regulations governing the materials that they can be made of.
What materials?
Well, cardboard's out.
And?
No cardboard derivatives.
Like paper?
No paper. No string, no sellotape.
Rubber?
No, rubber's out. They've got to have a steering wheel. There's a minimum crew requirement.
What's the minimum crew?
Oh, one, I suppose.
So the allegations that they're just designed to carry as much oil as possible,
ludicrous.
All the consequences, I mean, that's ludicrous.
Absolutely ludicrous. These are very, very strong vessels.
So what happened in this case?
Well, the front fell off in this case, by all means, but it's very unusual.
But Senator Collins, why did the front book fall off?
Well, a wave hit it.
A wave hit it?
A wave hit the ship.
Is that unusual?
Oh, yeah. At sea. Chance in a million.
So what do you do to protect the environment in cases like this?
The ship was towed outside the environment.
Into another environment.
This is the part I love.
No. It's been towed beyond the environment. It's not in the environment.
No, but from one environment to another environment.
No, it's beyond the environment. It's not in an environment. It has been towed beyond the environment.
Well, what's out there?
Nothing's out there.
Well, there must be something
out there. There is nothing out there. All there is sea and birds and fish.
And?
And 20,000 tons of crude oil.
And what else?
And a fire.
And anything else?
And the part of the ship that the front fell off. But there's nothing else out there.
Senator Collins, thanks for joining us.
It's a complete void.
Yeah, we're out of time.
The environment's perfectly safe. We're out of time?
Yeah.
Can you book me a cab?
But didn't you come in a Commonwealth car?
Yes, I did. But
what happened?
Well, the front fell off.
Is that brilliant?
That is too damn funny. I forgot I was not on mute.
It's a complete void.
Crude?
Well, 80,000 tons of burning crude. And a fire. And a part of the ship at the front didn't pull off. I remember I played that for Ferg 15 years ago. And I swear it wasn't 2 days ago. They said something. We were talking about it, like an old junk vehicle or something. Yeah, the front fell off.
You know, but that's probably how they were rolling. Anyway, that's the funny part. That's, you know, it was like, nobody's going to know. We'll just drop that. Yeah, just go, whatever.
Yeah, it's like the we're going to drill in the North Slope of Alaska. What could possibly go wrong?
Oh, see, don't get, we haven't talked. The wonderful, miraculous Keystone Pipeline. Apparently, well, you already know.
It's always when it leaks, not if it leaks. Yeah.
So I don't know what these people are barking about. I mean, it's just like, and then you can't tell them. Well, it'd be nice if they would understand. I mean, we'll slow down because I sound judgmental. I don't want to sound like that. But maybe they don't understand that particular nasty oil has nothing to do with gasoline prices. It's that heavy, nasty. It's probably like for lubricant for bearings on wheels and stuff like that. It's not. You can't make gasoline out of it. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
And I don't know how else to put it.
Well, there's a little bit of good news.
Mm-hmm.
It comes out of Florida. It's the story of Joe Harding. Joe Harding was actually the author of Florida's Don't Say Gay Bill. And the good news part of it is he's no longer a Florida maggot lawmaker. And he entered a guilty plea today in federal court on felony fraud charges for trying to scam $150,000 from COVID-19 relief funds.
Well, good.
And so he was indicted on 6 counts of wire fraud, money laundering, and making false statements.
Mm-hmm.
The day he was charged, the next day he resigned from the legislature. But he still did massive amounts of harm with the Don't Say Gay bill, which is still being litigated. But he could face up to 35 years in the joint.
Good.
All of them.
Good.
Every last minute.
We don't have room for these weirdos. No, if they don't like it here, they can go somewhere else. If they don't like it here. They don't like it here, they can go somewhere else. But
he was small fry. His brother-in-law, a guy named Patrick Walsh, well, he went up on wire fraud and money laundering charges because he got $8 million in disaster relief loans.
Mm. Now, you know what's interesting? You bringing this up. I'm seeing all these commercials about people who, according to these purveyors of these services, qualify for repayment funds for folks that they employed during the pandemic. But there was so much money. I'll never forget when Steve Mnuchin was like, oh, we got this money out here. That first tranche of money, it was gone in a week. Nobody knows where that money went. That money was gone. I mean, I don't even know how much.
I remember that because the first thing I thought of when that happened was remembering back to the those halcyon days of Bush War II against the innocent people of Iraq, that massive war crime for which he has still not been held accountable, in which there were reports of tractor trailer loads of $100 bills that were shrink-wrapped into what were referred to, because they were about the size of, footballs. And there were stories of guys standing around on the tarmac throwing them around like footballs. Cash money, baby. No accounting, no nothing. Just, find a warlord and give him some. And if a little bit falls into your pocket, well, nobody's looking.
Well, because I've heard the same thing. I'm not going to get to.
Well, I mean, this is what happens with Republicans and money. And now, with 13 minutes left in the program, I'm going to mention, yes, we have $90 to go on the final $100 of Matt's Bitch Better Have My Money Challenge.
You only have 13 minutes left in the program? What will happen to the program?
It flies by sometimes.
13 minutes.
And, you know, good conversation is a big part of it. Now, going back to this dickhead in Florida, in a statement at his sentencing, remember, this guy tried to rip off the American people to the tune of $150,000.
Right.
And did massive amounts of harm to countless Florida citizens, most of them children.
Are you on a writ?
And he gave a statement at his sentencing and said, "During the past legislative session, I have felt the support of millions of Americans while fighting for our shared concerns and for the rights of parents." You know, as long as the parents aren't the parents of marginalized kids. "I will never forget the support I received from every corner of this great country." All 35 years, every freaking minute, if he doesn't get it, yeah. Oh, and by the way, Randy Radar serving as the Horn ad hoc Iraqi war graft and corruption department said $8.8 billion was lost in Iraq.
Damn.
That way. $8.8
billion. Well, see, all right, and I know that we're...
That's some serious Jed Clampett walking around money.
That's a lot of money. Now, wait a minute. Now I'm starting to remember here. Remember the antiquities that got the museums? They stole the artifacts from the cradle of civilization. They got those, whoever they is, and whatever was in the Iraqi banks, and the ability to make other people's passports and IDs and shit. See, that's a big deal. You get that machinery, fake passport, money, boom, I'm out. Are you fucking kidding me?
I know. Oh, a little bit of sad news. You'll recognize this name. Word came out today that at the age of 80, Willis Reed has passed away.
Who's Willis Reed?
Played for the Knicks, led them to their first championship back in 1973,
And on game seven, I mean, he was beat up. And he came, he came hobbling out of the locker room for game seven, electrified the fans, and led them to a win in the NBA championship of 1973, game seven, and became an absolute icon of what it means to be dedicated.
Wow. Sounds like a hero.
Oh, yeah. But I hope, you know, I saw that and it was just, because that was, I was 10, but I remember watching that championship game and it's like, But he was tough. And one last thing. Are you familiar with the name Ali Alexander?
Not really.
He was intimately associated with the terrorist attack of January 6th. Big time maggot. Well, he's gotten into the act now about the looming indictment of Nitwit Nero.
Oh.
And he said, he went on Twitter. And, you know, again, I asked the same question I asked yesterday. Do these guys ever get a visit from the humorless dudes in the black suits with the skinny black ties that talk to their wrists? 7:26 a.m. today, he tweeted, "Any cop who betrays the people for politicians is a traitor and will be dealt with at a later date accordingly. Do not add your name to the fake news who are enemies of the people."
All right. If that was a Negro, that motherfucker would be locked the fuck up now.
Well, he kind of is. I mean, he's brown, if not black.
Oh, shit. It doesn't matter. You know what?
But he's going to get a pass.
Why is that?
Because he's gotten a pass all along.
I don't know. You know what? I just don't know what to say. Because seriously, we're in a pickle here. Like a pickle. And I said that because I was watching Morning Joe this morning late, DVR, and it was funny because which McCauley said pickle, and Joe was like, "Oh, 1950s pickle." But Mika said pickle. So we're in a pickle because, you know, to have this many people in America, Americans, did not even think twice about what happened on January 6th. And like, oh, well, what did you expect? Well, of course, they had to. They felt strongly about it. They're making all these exceptions and excuses and rationale and this and that.
But, you know, there's a significant point to be made here, Todd. And it applies to you. It applies to me. Because if Nitwit Nero is actually booked, printed, mugshot, the works, you know, we'll never see him wearing orange. He'll be released on his own recognizance. But the thing is, it's going to have reverberations, especially in the maggot states like where you live, where I live, my friends in Alabama, Tennessee, etc. And a lot of these people are going to be wound tighter than a railroad conductor's watch. And they're going to be and they're going to be on a hair trigger.
Yep.
Maybe, certainly figuratively, and maybe literally.
Yep.
And they will be ready to go off. at anyone for anything.
Well,
am I wrong?
We're going back to Merrick Garland. No, now we're going back to Merrick Garland.
Oh, we're going to put a tidy little bow on it.
You see, because we're talking about, let's just look at statistics. We're talking about what we know. This is what we know. We already know it's a stat significant portion of this population that subscribes to this. We know that. That's what we know.
Yeah, 30% of the voting population of this country. Every bit.
Every bit. And that's what we don't know. What we don't know, and see, you can only speculate, and you and I, we're working with empirical, we're trying to be factual here. Yeah, the gray
nuttier than a semi a tractor trailer load of Honey Nut Cheerios.
See? So that's an extra 7 to 10%, most likely. But we know, like I'm saying, we can focus on what we know. And we know this. We know this. That's the problem. We know that's a lot of people. And these people are fervent. See? They're fervent. This is their last stand. They are willing to put their wives, their daughters' health on the line to make sure they procreate. They don't care if they die because I, you know, just had that baby. See, this is part of it. All this stuff is related.
Sure it is. And as I mentioned in yesterday's program, you have to pay attention to how the language gets used. This Ali Alexander asshole, for instance. If the humorless dudes in the black suits with skinny black ties do show up, all he'll say is, you know, I said if. And I didn't say anything definitive. Actually, any cop who betrays the people for politicians is a traitor and will be dealt with at a later date accordingly. Well, I didn't say I was going to do any violence. I didn't say anybody should do any violence.
Mm-hmm.
And so we will wink at this treason. Again, some more. And so far, fucker has skated. He openly called for insurrection, made no bones about it. Nothing has happened to him.
All this time we've been on the phone, and it seems like we hadn't talked in a while. All this time we've been on the phone tonight, and we have not gotten to that. It's like in other words, if you don't understand this fucker's psyche by now, you're not paying attention. People like, he's a bulldozer. Bulldozers, you have to stop them in their tracks. You have to stop them and destroy their motorcycle. Just stop them. Otherwise, they're going to keep bulldozing. This fucker is still doing exactly what he's about to be indicted on. And, you know, and the more I think that honestly, I mean, seriously, I'm a historian in a sense. And I'm going to say, you know, he if he hasn't studied fascismo, he is definitely personified. He has made himself where if you don't believe in me, you believe in nothing. I'm your savior. And people are living vicariously through him. It's very dangerous. And this is why I would say, now we're talking about these cases in terms of And see, you're the legal mind. Now, I only know because I had to spend a whole lot of money to learn what I know about the legal system. But I would say that the reason the progression of these cases is going the way it is with New York going first is that people are just going, well, what is ripe? In other words, the New York case is ripe now, according to Bragg. He feels like it's ripe. Because these folks do not, they don't want to bring anything at that level. You don't want to bring nothing to trial that you cannot prove.
because it makes you look bad. At that level, you do not. They don't bring nothing to trial unless they can prove it. Take my. I know I'm just some dude talking to you on the radio, but I know what the fuck I'm talking about. So he better watch his. He's fucking done. Because when they get to Georgia, that's, I mean, there's so many counts on that shit. And then they got another tape. That's pandering for votes, election fraud, wire fraud, using telephone devices for illegal activity. That's so much, man, there's so much shit on that. That's why Fonny's like, damn, how many charges? Damn, what shit. It's so many charges. It's so many charges. What say you?
No, you. And there are members of this community who may be right when they say, whatever happens, it's too damn late. Because there's no way to keep him out of the 2024 cycle. There's no way to keep... He can, you know... Lyndon LaRouche was in prison and ran for president every time there was elections. That's worth remembering here.
Okay.
But dude is being, I mean, he's, wow. He announced his next rally, Todd. His next maggot rally. It is scheduled for this Saturday. This has got to do some dot connecting here in Waco, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday just happens to be the anniversary of the Branch Davidian compound siege.
So what are the intentions of this organism in question?
Well, it's such an obvious dog whistle. He's calling. Look, it was the Branch Davidian compound disaster that led Timothy McVeigh to bomb the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in 1995. Killed 198 people, including 19 children. What the hell else but an incitement can this be viewed as? Mm. And, of course, the conspiracy theories that spun out of the Branch Davidian thing were legion. In some ways, you could say that the Branch Davidian thing created some of the energy for later more robust right wing paranoia.
Mm-hmm.
Heidi Beirich is the co-founder of the Global Project Against Hate and Extremism. She said Waco is hugely symbolic on the far right. There's not really another place in the U.S. that you could pick that would tap into these deep veins of anti-government hatred. Christian nationalist skepticism of the government, and I find it hard to believe that Trump doesn't know that Waco represents all of these things.
He knows. His people know. He might not know, but he's always been involved. Let's be truthful here. He's always been a racist. He grew up in a racist family. And just because someone sleeps with a black person or a person of color doesn't mean they're not racist. I mean, look at plantation owners. So let's dissolve you, you know, disavow yourself of that notion, whoever you are. And so, you know, he's just exhibiting this behavior that he's always had. And, you know, he's just absolutely a dangerous ass motherfucker. He's absolutely dangerous for this country. Which is why all his telephonic means, all that shit should be shut down. He should not be able to have a cell phone, no internet, nothing. If you want to talk to him, then you got to go talk to him.
Well, over at the Southern Poverty Law Center, Megan Squire, who is the deputy director for data analytics, said, give me a break. There's no reason to go to Waco, Texas, other than one thing, in April. I can't even fathom what that's about other than just a complete dog whistle. Actually, forget right. dog whistle. That's just a train whistle to the folks who still remember the event and are still mad about it.
Stochastic terrorism.
He's trying desperately to weaponize his weird-ass, violent-tendencied supporters.
But they're more than happy. That's the thing. It's a marriage made in heaven. They're more than happy. They love that. And these are like the people from Breaking Bad, in Arizona, right? The white
New Mexico.
Yep. I'm New Mexico, right? Uncle Jack, right? Uncle Jack folk. See, these are Uncle Jack folk. You know, veterans. Even though he kept continually lying to them and taking their money, oh, they love him. See, that alone should make people think. Well, wait a minute, what's going on here? How is it that these folks are still in line with him? And it's been proven he's stolen from them on countless occasions now. Countless occasions of fraud.
Yeah.
Am I wrong here?
No. And I think part of the reason he's so scared about what's going on in Manhattan is, A, the trouble he will have getting it to the Supreme Court, and B, the fact that a Manhattan jury may absolutely nail him up. Because a lot of people in the greater New York area know him for who he is and despise him as a result.
That's what we kept telling everybody. Everybody who had either lived there, whatever. It's a joke. He's a joke. Like, really, he's a joke. But, see, this is more than I'm not even going to say his name. It's more than him. This is just a barometer of who we really are. And that's the problem. I'm going to use that phrase again. We can divorce ourselves with the notion that, you know, we're so advanced and this and that. That's not true. If that were the case, then we wouldn't be dealing with this. That's my take on it.
You're right. Well, I guess we're going to call it an evening. A little bit overtime, but considering how much I'm going to be missing, that's okay.
I caught the tail end of that. Can you inform me, please?
I'm leaving Friday. Going to Princeton, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Princeton Environmental Film Festival. They're screening Devil Put the Coal in the Ground, and I feature fairly prominently in it. And then panel discussion and going to talk to some students. Then leaving on Monday and heading down to D.C. and going to work on the Yank Act.
Man, that sounds beautiful. Have you been to Princeton before?
The only time I've even been in New Jersey was about an hour that we spent at Weehawken.
There's an Amtrak station. It's called Metro Park. That's Princeton. But, yeah, you're going to like Princeton, man. It's nice.
I think it's going to be fantastic. And then it's going to be really nice to be back in D.C. and be able to work on the Yank Act.
Yeah. You know what? We need. But I think we've bottomed out. I think these people are going to go away. Or, it'll take a little bit. We just need strong leadership. Well, good. Yeah, you know what? Then that is excellent news. And I heard what you're saying. I was attending. Do you have different legislation, new legislation?
Well, we're waiting for the AIC Act to be reintroduced. It'll be reintroduced soon. And this will be its 11th year in the House of Representatives.
Good Lord. That's what it takes. That's what it takes. Because I'm concerned, man. Your community, I mean, you start, when you start to, see, this is insidious. This is how these people do shit. I mean, it used to be a joke, but it literally is just a group of small people, and they make decisions for all of us. Like this is a big board. Like, okay, what does community mean? Okay, because you remember, there's certain variables that are inherently necessary for a successful community. Right, clean water, land. Stores, housing, safety. And when you manipulate those things, certain, you know, other components, but when you manipulate those things, you can manipulate the community. Now, like we were talking about, all right, it's hard to get to food. Oh, now it's hard to get your medicine. They know the community's aging. Young people ain't hanging around. They're getting the fuck out.
Yeah.
See, and they just look at the damn at the Excel sheets like, oh, look at the demographics. Oh, most people here are over 40. Oh, diabetes? No, we're gonna make it hard to get insulin. Yeah, let's do that. These fuckers are weird, man.
Yeah. Oh, and going back to be careful if he gets indicted. Micah just wrote in and she said. Even the safe states, not just West Virginia and South Carolina and the Confederacy, even the safe states, Micah says, Michigan's full of MAGAs and they're pissed they don't have power.
What would they do with it?
More than what they did last time.
What?
And they did plenty of harm last time.
Wow. Well, I'm looking forward to talking with you again.
I am too, and I hope you continue to feel better.
Well, thank you.
You're most welcome. It's awfully good to hear from you. We worry, you know. No, I'm serious. The community worries when they don't hear from somebody they're used to hearing from.
Well, you know what?
I haven't heard from Ron and Raleigh in ages, and I'm beginning to worry.
Uh-oh, that's not good at all.
Well, I mean, it's fine if he just got, like, disgusted with me or something and bailed. That's okay. I mean, it makes me sad. But I just need to know Ron's okay. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe he changed work or something. You know, this is not the America of a dignified retirement at 65 anymore.
That's true. You got that right.
Mm. Well, Todd, you take care of yourself. We'll talk soon.
You too.
Enjoy your milkshakes.
Thanks, Robin.
And mashed potatoes. I love mashed potatoes, but my God, when I had that oral surgery back a couple of years ago, I got to the point where I was like, no more. I'll just go hungry.
Every time I look around, I see steak. And I'm like, damn, man, are you serious?
Well, that's like Ferg was talking, I think, last night, because I mentioned Fogo de Chao up in D.C., and he said, he came in here and told the community, he said, I just had oral surgery to have my wisdom teeth removed. And I was not going to miss out. And I busted every stitch in my mouth. eating that delicious, delicious, delicious meat. And it is.
Whew. I have two steaks in here. I'm not dead. They're, and
no, not yet.
Not yet. I mean, I bought them. When I bought them, I was like, oh. They went on sale. I looked at them. I said, oh. I smelled them. I said, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I bet you're getting a little tired of the yogurt, too.
Oh, you know. But, you know.
I mean, love it, but.
And I do. And it's a good thing I like oatmeal. It's a good thing I like oatmeal. And honestly, it is
grits, really cheese grits, yeah. Pimento cheese grits.
pimento cheese grits, and I'm big on the salmon. I'm never giving the salmon up now. I'm big on the salmon. Shoot. I mean, it's worth every penny. Get it in bulk and just do what you got to do. But you know what? I'm so glad that you afforded time for me. And
anytime.
Thanks, Jude, and everybody else, and Clarence, and everybody. And I hope everyone stays safe and happy. And I'm going to let you go, man.
All right. You take care, Todd. Be good.
All right.
Bye. Hadn't heard from Todd in a while, and we made a lot of headway. Thank you. An anonymous friend has jumped in. Another anonymous friend has jumped in and brought the third $100 of Matt's Bitch Better Have My Money challenge down to $80 to go. So, wow, that's fantastic. So, I don't know, maybe the overnight crew might want to kick in and get in on some of that money doubling action. Because it's so helpful. And if that's the case, you know, we'll be down to 8:20 tomorrow, because that'll got us from 11:20 down to 5:20, and then tomorrow and Thursday, and then one day on the 31st. So there's $80 left for the overnight crew if y'all want to help. Thank you. Thanks, everybody. I feel like, again, the last couple of programs, we've really covered ground. And it's great to have conversational help company doing it. Because like I say so often, you only get to the real heart of the matter and find the real revelations in things when we process them. And that happened this evening, and I really liked it. Great to hear from Todd. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Lord, we need new subscribers. We got a couple last month. Remember, your first month subscription, when you do subscribe, especially if you're a new listener, $10 a month via PayPal or Patreon. And the first month, our buddy Zed will double it. And that's just great. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Anonymous and by name, thank you so much. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this long-running conversation. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Sparky and Roger in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Like and subscribe. Leave a comment. Mash that heart button there tune in, please. Leave comments and whatever on whatever platform that you listen on. It really does help so much. Thank you. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Coming soon, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, reintroduced in its 11th year. And when that time comes, it'll be time to hit the phones and hit the emails and start telling your Democratic members of the House to please sign on to it. Because this is the essence of grassroots activism. Please stay safe. Please get your booster while it's still free. Get your flu shot. Wipe down your surfaces. Help stop the spread of RSV. Stay out of hospitals if you possibly can. You know, Candida auris and all. Seems like the list just grows. Of scary shit that can... Yeah. Wear your masks. Tomorrow I'm going to buy a whole fresh box of masks to go to D.C. Because in the Democratic offices, they're still masking because they're smart. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Got to get some of that tomorrow, too. And maintain your social distance, 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says.
if an orange adipose jiggling blob of anxieties and petty grievances comes towards you down the sidewalk, hollering, meet me in Waco, meet me in Waco. Well, avoid the king maggot like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.